Blog Talk Radio.
Looking for something different? Looking for something fun? Join Dan every Monday on the Freedomizer Network, 9 to 10:30 Pacific, noon to 1:30 Eastern, for Common Sense with the Educated Redneck, Dan Ellison. The show about everything and nothing at all.
We talk a lot about the kingdom here, and we talk a lot about what most churches are afraid to talk about or don't even know to talk about, which is what the first century church was really doing. But just talking about it is not enough. We encourage everybody to join us in their local neighborhoods, in their local communities, to find out more about what they can do to seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Gather with others who are already starting this road or starting to turn around and do things differently. Join us on thelivingnetwork.org or at hisholychurch.org. Go to the network links or go to preparingyou.com. Join the network there. It's all the same. And we'll try to hook you up with people in your local area. They will not be perfect. They don't walk on water. They are not necessarily saints. But they are talking about seeking the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And join us on Facebook. Facebook.com, His Holy Church, all one word. Join us there. We'll give you updates so you can start doing some studying and thinking about these things and start looking into these things for yourselves. But it's just not enough to sit and listen or to talk about or to say. You must become a doer of the word.
Hello, I'm Mike. My birthing partner and I just got our new Lysnica Freedom microchips. These microchips are awesome. They help me keep the freedom I used to before I enrolled into Southern Hampshire Institute of Technology.
I am Jamar. I am friends with Mike and his birthing partner. We met at SHIT. I am a liberal media major. I also just got a Lysnica Freedom microchip. As since SHIT recently mandates everyone on campus get their freedom microchip, I jumped on the Lysnica joint.
This freedom chip grants me the freedom to go everywhere I was allowed to before COVID. Now this chip tells me when I am and am not allowed to go outside. It also tracks my boosters. If I'm not up to date on a chip, it tells me when I need to get it by.
This chip is sweet. Without this freedom chip, no one is allowed on our campus. I scan my hand whenever I want to pay for something. It also calls for an ambulance when I get another heart attack from a booster, which is totally not a heart attack from getting a gene therapy.
These freedom chips are free. You can go to any drugstore or China Mart. An employee with inserted in your wrist.
Remember, it is not the mark of the beast. You just need to let Lysnica track and trace your every move. You just need a freedom chip to buy, sell, work, and live. When you get a microchip, look for the Lysnica Freedom microchips. They are sweet.
Hello Freedomizers. I am Broccoli Man. When I am not fighting crime, I listen to the Proof Negative radio show.
I am the Wire Ripper.
Not only do I forbid you to listen to Freedomizer Radio and the Proof Negative Radio Show, I am going to demand you wear a mask and get your naked body scan. We need to protect the One World Government. You getting the real information hurts a crime syndicate. Do not listen to Proof Negative. You must now disrobe this instant so I can check your person for a constitution or cash money.
Anyway, listen to Proof Negative on Freedomizer Radio. Weeknights 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern. 6 to 9 p.m. Pacific Time. FreedomizerRadio.com.
Now, let's get back to the Proof Negative show here on FreedomizerRadio.com. Welcome to the Proof Negative radio show right here on FreedomizerRadio.com. Now sit back and enjoy the show.
All right. Hello again, everyone. Welcome back to another great night here on Freedomizer Radio. Of course, I'm your host, Proof Negative, the big kahuna here on Freedomizer. I want to thank everybody so much for finding us today. Today is Thursday, so we'll have V joining us here momentarily. And if you want to be a part of the show, the number here is 319-527-6208, and just press lucky number 1 on your phone, and I will make it a point to bring you into today's conversation. So with that, I'll go ahead and bring V into the spot here.
Good evening.
Welcome in, V.
How are you feeling tonight?
I feel like my body hit a wall like 20 minutes ago. So
like a cold?
I did something I almost never do, and I drank an organic soda, so I won't drink any of the other leading brands, but I'll see if that helps.
Oh, you mean like you feel like your blood sugar dipped a little bit?
I'm just tired.
Oh, man.
Just sometimes after work, I take a 30-minute nap, and I didn't do that today, and I pay the price.
Ah, yeah. Yes. I know how that feels, especially since I work nights. If I don't take a nap, sometimes I'm by 11 o'clock, I'm like, oh, true. Help. Oh, no.
That's usually how it works. I've been trying to get out of taking regular naps because I did it for years. So my body's used to it.
That's good.
So
I wish. There used to be a place in New York City in the, I would say the fashion district, it's kind of like the garment district in the 30s on the west side. There was a place called Nap York where you could go and pay to sleep in kind of a pod. It's
okay.
Basically like a little tunnel. They provided the sheets and they had a mattress that was like bamboo. To give you a quilt, they give you a towel. And you had tons of plugs to charge your phone and a little bag to hold your belongings. And you would sleep there. You draw a little curtain at the end of your feet, turn off the lights inside, and you could have the option of being in total darkness or have little sparkly lights that look like stars over your head. And after, I think the longest you could stay there was 6 hours because you literally only go there to nap.
Right.
And then they give you an alarm that looked like a coaster. And it would buzz and vibrate and light up, and that would wake you up. And if you didn't wake up during the alarm, they would come and knock on your little pod and say, hey, it's time for you to wake up. And they gave you, like, a good amount of time to get yourself ready and freshened up. And then, you know, they'd have to give your pod to someone else. But they also had hammocks on the roof. They did yoga. They provided some food, but not, like, huge meals. And if you had a suitcase with you because you were just passing through, they had a place to store your luggage. But it was a very interesting business that apparently some vagrants ruined by coming in with bed bugs or body lice and just destroyed the place.
Oh.
And it had to be shut down thanks to the health department. There went Nap York.
Sounds like a pretty righteous place now.
Yeah, it was totally... They gave you little slippers when you came in to swap out your shoes. You got a locker to put your real shoes in because you couldn't walk around with your shoes. It was pretty nice. Massage chairs. And nice. Nap York.
Sorry, just whatever was going on behind you was louder than you for a second there.
Yeah, that's Timcast. I was watching earlier. I was trying to see what was going on between Ben Shapiro and Steven Crowder. I don't know if you heard about that.
No, talk to me.
Stephen Crowder recorded a phone conversation between him and Ben where he was telling him that basically Ben Shapiro and the Daily Wire are not much different than most of these mega corporations. When they take on new talent, they own the rights to the talent's name or LLC or anything that they've built up in the short amount of time they've been around. And they own it in perpetuity. So he was like saying... that these people that are getting started and they want, and you take them on to the Daily Wire, they can no longer do anything after they leave you with the, what they built up prior, because they have to pay royalties to you.
Oh.
So he told them it was very predatory, and they had a conversation about how Crowder was offered $50 million by a particular company to be taken on as a, I guess, a new addition, and he turned it down, but he countered with $140 million. So people like Anomaly, Candace Owens, and other people were weighing in on the fact that he didn't want 50. He wanted more, and some people see it as greed, and some people see that he's kind of not keeping his point, where like you're saying that Ben Shapiro's predatory and taking advantage of new talent, but you, as an established comedian and a conservative one at that, are requesting more money for something that a lot of people wish they could even just break into. And so I guess they each have their own points, but the fact that he recorded a phone conversation between him and Ben Shapiro and then played it for people on the air, it's just looking kind of shady on his part. But he also exposed Ben for what he really is. So it's like, if you had any love for Ben, you know, as far as being a good debater or being, just, I don't know, maybe dedicated to whatever it is that he does, which is talk about politics, current events, you could definitely see that there's another side to this. You know, they're really beholden to donors or advertisers. They're still beholden to social media. But people like, let's say, Tim Cast or Tim Pool, as his name is,
right,
he has his own business, his own company. He can take out an ad on Times Square and he's not adversely affected by it because he has, you know, hundreds of thousands of subscribers and viewers on YouTube. But he just has to be careful what he says when he's on live because YouTube will, you know, ban you. But I guess Crowder is going to eventually go the route of Timcast because he's still part of the bigger something. Somebody else, I guess, owns him and he wants to break away from that. But I don't understand how you're going to do that. There's so much going on right now with that, and I don't even know if I should take sides because I feel like it's all so petty, and I don't like to see conservative creators, content creators, or, you know, commentators go at one another because it's exactly what the left loves to see. They love to see division among us, and there, if there's something that unites us, I mean, yes, I'm not Jewish, but I'm not going to block out a Jewish person's perspective on anything because, you know, I disagree on something like money.
I guess I had Ben Shapiro on the show like back in 2012.
Mm-hmm.
And he was the CEO of Breitbart at the time after Andrew Breitbart passed.
I remember that.
And I was okay with Ben Shapiro up until like 2018-ish. Just his never-Trumpism just kind of really got to me. And then when he said, just take your vaccine, you dopes. And I remember that specifically. And then I just tuned him right out. Never listened to him once again.
Meanwhile, now he's like, well, you know what? The government shouldn't impose it. Because he was coming off like he was very libertarian. He's not. And telling people, you know, that they were stupid, saying that if, you know, it's his choice to be vaccinated, if it's yours to not be, then he supports that and the government should mandate it. But and he was talking out of both sides of his mouth. And
right.
Of course,
and
it was that video.
That's what made me exit stage right on him.
I'll say that that did it for me. And, of course, the time that he was recorded, and it was, I guess he didn't know he was live, and they were he was asking someone to edit something he said about trans people before because he didn't want to offend anybody. It was like, I saw that as like a sign of weakness. I thought, this is a man who spent hours on stage debating people of opposing views, and he doesn't care about the fact that when you have a debate, you're literally going to offend somebody. Of course, the person who's debating him doesn't care either, but everything that he stands for, his whole platform is built upon the possibility that you're going to offend somebody. And I think Jordan Peterson, he did a video clip of Crowder, and he was, I think, asked to take it down because it's been deleted. But he's the only one on the whole team of the Daily Wire that's not rooting for or defending Ben Shapiro or the Daily Wire's actions as a company. And I guess now he's completely silent, so. But I'm assuming the Daily Wire doesn't own Jordan Peterson per se. I'm sure he negotiated a little bit of a better contract for himself. Because I think one of the things that Crowder pointed out was that, you know, in owning somebody's brand, you kind of strip them of something that they were trying to create. And he said that they have to be, Ben Shapiro said that everybody has to be a wage slave when they're first starting out. And so that's kind of like, I don't know, it's insulting, you know? And I don't see Candace Owens as somebody who was or needed to be a wage slave. She was established. We knew who she was just off of her YouTube videos. So I don't know. I'm starting to see the Daily Wire as some kind of monstrous entity. I never saw it that way. You know, I thought the Daily Wire was a great creation. I see them now as trying to counter all the work that Disney's doing, you know, trying to bring something wholesome to families and people's homes. And I guess that's their mission. But to say that...
And now you know why I just stick with doing Freedomizer and just do my own thing.
Right. It's like as if I wanted to create a business, Break Free with V, and then, you know, you want to take me under Freedomizer, and you say, you know what, we're going to take the name and the brand, Break Free with V, we're going to own it so that when you leave us and your contract expires in, let's say, 2 or 4 years, you're going to have to pay us a certain percentage every time you use it. If you want to put it on a shirt or a hat or a mug, or if you want to even mention it, there's going to be a fee associated with that.
Yeah, otherwise you have to start over from scratch.
Right. And then you have to do some variation thereof, and it's not the same, you know. I don't know. I guess it's not the worst thing in the world. But now I do remember when he said, just take your vaccines, and, you know, just seeing that he didn't want to embarrass or insult or offend trans people. I lost respect for Ben Shapiro.
I don't mind offending trans people.
I know you don't.
I don't hate them, but I'm not going to cave and just say that they are better than everybody else. I don't think anybody is better than anyone else, but I don't think someone gets extra money or extra points in the media because they bat the same direction as they were born with. Or they're a man wanting to dress as a woman, so they, therefore they're better than me. Or they're black. I don't care. To me, it's about
what
actions. And if that means that I'm hated because I don't give somebody preferential treatment, then so be it.
Yeah, what is this big push to get trans people dressed in drag in schools to read to kids? Like, did we have a shortage of respect for other people? Like, they keep saying that the trans community is at risk of being harmed, but the more that I see these numbers, that kids, the number of kids that consider themselves trans from childhood to teenage years, right, it's like up by like 2,000%.
But the idea, though, V, is that when you trade in your body, like Noah Harari says, you're going to enter the metaverse and you're going to transfer your life to a computer on the metaverse, and you're going to give up your physical carbon to save the planet. And when you go to the metaverse, that it won't matter what body parts you have. So that's what they're prepping people for.
Well, that's true, but I don't know if they're prepping just for that, because you have kids. Like, honestly, the kids are being swayed and kind of lured into this this world of where you don't have to pick a gender. You can be fluid. You can be a boy one day, a girl another.
But the goal is by 2030 to get as many people on the metaverse as possible. So
how are they going
to
do that when they're pushing
children?
If they plant
the seeds now, then they can look at that in 7 or 8 years, and it'll make sense to them because they already have been prepped.
Think about it like this. How are they going to accomplish that, having more people in the metaverse, when they're pushing children into a community of people that commit suicide at a rate of at least 52%?
Well, they would be able to still have them commit suicide, except that their bodies would die, but their brain would just be a computer piece on a metaverse.
Well, that's interesting. Did you see this little clip from the World Economic Forum with a little Asian lady who says she can't wait to be a cyborg? She was, like, so excited.
No, I missed that. And I've been trying to look for World Economic Forum stuff.
Oh, I got it all off Twitter. Because Lord knows,
yeah,
I couldn't sit through hours of rich people talking about what they plan to do with us poor plebes.
Yeah, nothing about how to make our lives better. The World Economic Forum is just about how they're going to rule with an iron fist.
Exactly. Well, they were saying that the future for mankind is turning us all into cyborgs.
Right.
So we should be excited. We should be excited, too. Another plan that I forgot his name from Saudi Arabia said that we're not going to own cars. There will be no cars in the future. I'll get his name up.
Yeah, the people that flee the world for oil and oil production, they're saying that there will be no cars in the future.
I mean, not only that, we've heard about the 15-minute neighborhoods, right, where you have
yes.
to walk everywhere, or 20-minute neighborhoods. They've already started in the UK, and when you go outside of your zone, you can get summons, fined, arrested. You're definitely not treated like, you have the right to be anywhere outside of your zone. But forgive me, I have a little touch of laryngitis. I felt like I was coming down with a cold, but I think I slept through. Okay, so Saudi Arabian diplomat Ahmed Al-Jubeer talks about his vision of the future. And there's like a little clip. I got it from Luke, We Are Change, that
okay.
guy.
Luke Radowski, yeah.
Yes. He posted that clip on Twitter today.
That's
and
another guest I haven't had on in like 10 years or more.
Oh, really? Luke,
yeah.
He tweets that out and Elon Musk responds with, ahem.
Is that a good or a bad thing that Elon did that?
Well, it's funny because if he says there will be no cars, Elon's like, excuse me, I'm making cars.
That's true, because he does own Tesla.
No word on the electric cars, just no cars at all, geez. I mean, I don't understand how people are not seeing how lithium is still mined by hand. It's not supposed to be. It's supposed to be mined by a machine. And yet we have recent footage of children digging around these mines and tens of thousands of people chipping away at mountains and rock just to get at the lithium. It's like that's not supposed to be happening. That's not what we're told is happening from the bottom up.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Sorry, I had two different sentences, and then I tried to see which one I wanted to say more, and they both left at the same time.
I hear that happen. So, really quick and off the subject, been seeing people debate on Bitcoin. Like, Bitcoin is
okay.
up about 25% I don't know if you know. It was at, yeah, like about a month ago, it was at 15,000 per Bitcoin, and now it's a little over 20. So a lot of people say things like Bitcoin is a Ponzi pyramid scheme. They consider themselves experts in the matter. I don't think that's the right word. I would never say Ponzi scheme because we know what that means. It's like, you know, everybody who buys in at the beginning is helping pay the people who've been in already and getting your money at the top.
Well, if it's decentralized, there's no way it could be a Ponzi scheme because there would have to be somebody at the top.
Right, but then there's other people who believe that it was created by the government. The CIA had something to do with it. It's a Trojan horse, you know, to get like the digital, to kind of get everybody used to digital currency. And it's technically still controlled by the central banks because it moves in tandem with other assets. Like it seems to fluctuate with other coins in the market and even with the dollar, you know. Although it's worth way more than the actual dollar. People think it's rigged. It's a pump and dump way to move people. Because the whales, and I say whales, like the rich people or countries who own a majority of Bitcoin will benefit the most from fluctuations in their favor than somebody who only buys in and doesn't own a full Bitcoin yet. And they buy in just a small percentage. But, I mean, like, the way it was coded and the way that whomever created it, we still have the white paper where you can see how it works. It can only be money. It's not programmable like Ethereum, where it can be anything else. Its purpose was to be used as a means of exchange. It has to be rapidly moved around in order to get used in a transaction. And the way that it is, what is it, every day somebody gets selected to, if they answer some question properly or correctly, they get the opportunity to trade Bitcoin and be the, I forget the word, where it's like everybody gets a chance to do it, but you can do it from your phone, you can do it from a laptop, but you can all trade Bitcoin and watch the transactions for 24 hours only if you answer the question correctly. Some ridiculously long mathematical equation. But, my brain is not braining right now. I did just eat, so that might be it. People use crypto to buy food, clothes, pay for services. You can pay for an attorney. You can even pay for childcare. There's some schools in Manhattan that accept Bitcoin as a form of payment.
I think if you want to go see a Sacramento Kings basketball game, I think they accept Bitcoin. I think that's the team. There was one basketball team that accepts that. But that would make sense being in Northern California.
Right. And people are crying for regulation, especially after this thing with Bankman-Fried.
Yeah, but the thing is that he just ran an exchange company. So it's not like he ran Binance or Coinbase or Kraken. I personally, and we've talked about this, I never liked the idea of paying gas fees.
Right.
And little did we know that that was actually Democrat operative fees.
Right. Especially if you're using FTX. But he was able to drain his coin. He was able to use a backdoor to move money from there to the Democratic Party, which moved it to Ukraine. I was going to say the Ukraine government.
I think it's hilarious. He's
back.
Pleading not guilty.
He's definitely not going to get jail time over this. There's no way. Is he going to end up floating in an ocean somewhere? I don't know. But he's their fall guy.
Yeah, just think somebody that did not walk into the Capitol on January 6th but stood outside the steps, they will get more jail time than Bankman-Fried.
Right. I agree.
So, yeah, I don't think necessarily that Bitcoin is a government entity.
Some people think it was created to get people a sheeple just to use digital currency. But the thing is that the idea of the government creating a digital currency was nothing but a conspiracy theory up until this year.
And now if you mention it, they'll still tell you it's a conspiracy theory.
Well, they'll tell you that the social credit system that's going to be based on that is a conspiracy theory. This is the best way to cut people off. And it's a great way to get around printing money. You don't have to actually have any paper, which they don't have anyway. We're all operating on this digital system already. They just want to make it more official, right? Because we know, I think I've heard some rich man say that he deposited $1 million cash into a bank and they had to close the bank down. Because they've never had that much money.
So why would they have to close the bank down if he deposited money?
Because they had to count it, separate it, and have an armored truck pick it up.
Oh. Okay.
But banks don't normally have more than, a little over a couple hundred thousand at one time. If you want to pick up a chunk of money, let's say $50,000. You have to call them. They have to have staff dedicated to just doing that, and they have to meet you in some other part of the bank building. You're not going to go to the window for that. And that way you can have it counted again in front of you. It's no easy feat.
I just think it's crazy that a lot of people make the equivalent of like $1,000 a week. And the biggest bills you get is hundreds.
Right. Well, we used to have a $500 bill.
Oh, there used to be a $1,000 bill.
I'm sure. I was going to say, I think there was also, but I remember the 500. I remember seeing one.
I think they got taken out of circulation in 1976, if I'm not mistaken.
Right. I was born then. So, yeah. I wonder why. Not like we couldn't use it. It's great. Not too many places will take it. God knows you'll get one of those brown markers. You know the brown marker they use in the supermarket? They drag it over your 100-point shirt.
Oh, yeah. It's good, right, yeah.
Yeah, that's, like, offensive now. Just thought of it. Having a $1,000 bill floating around. Like, who do you think you are?
So, any more discussions on those gas stoves?
No, I haven't heard anything about it.
Yeah, it's like that was last week's news, and then that's it. Then they move on to something else.
Well, the comeback was that we or conservatives are overreacting and being dramatic because nobody's coming for our stove. And you saw AOC's response, right?
No.
Where she said that conservatives are saying you're going to have to take my cold stove out of my cold dead hand. And she's like, nobody's taking your stove. Like, it's not happening. And she's like, you know, people were pointing out the fact that she has a gas stove. She was cooking on one during one of her live appearances on social media. And she was like, first of all, I rent. Like, that's why I have a gas stove, because I'm a renter.
Oh, okay.
Doesn't have an option, you know. But I mean, I couldn't believe the media pushback was like, look, nobody's coming to take your stove, and conservatives are making a big deal. Conservatives are over-exaggerating about, this is why you don't have to worry about your gas stove. All these headlines just started coming out. Like, I'm amazed at the work that the media does to counter something that's released as something as true. And then they'll report it later and act like they never said all these contradictory things.
Yes, but didn't Governor Hochul up there do something to ban gas stoves in new apartments or new constructions?
Yes, she did.
But it's a conspiracy theory if you know that she did that.
Right. Not only that, it's a conspiracy theory if you think that they're going to make it so that you have to surrender your current stove.
Mm.
If you live in an old development or you have an old house. Oh, it's another conspiracy theory if you think that the government's going to turn it off if you have any issue socially. They're not going to use the kill switch on your electric car. They're not going to turn off your electricity. And they're not going to kill switch your electric stove.
I sent you what I was cutting and pasting to a few people today.
Let me see.
It's this week's episode.
Oh. Yes. I like it.
I just want to know how it's a conspiracy theory if you're actually doing the banning and then it's not what you think it is. If someone says it's not what you think it is always what you think it is. I've learned that the hard way.
Isn't that what Occam's razor means?
What's that?
That the solution you come to with the least amount of variables or factors is the right one. Like, you don't have to use that much guessing to figure out what it is.
Oh, I never heard of that.
No? I'm sure I'm paraphrasing it wrong.
Okay.
Let's see what dictionary.com says. Occam's razor. It's here.
So you want to check out Mr. Broccoli?
Absolutely.
Okay. And then after that, we have a caller, so we'll hang out with Mr. Broccoli, and then we'll take a call.
Sounds good. I'm ready. Weekly cartoon series. Broccoli Man, I'm ready.
Yeah, I was soliciting to try and get more hits because only 22 viewers actually watched this video so far.
This is 26 on my end.
Oh, does it? Oh, I haven't refreshed in a while, I guess. All right, so we'll count it down. So 3, 2, 1, action.
Hold it right there, green dude. We need to take you in for questioning, sir.
What now do you want from me?
I heard you recently purchased a new gas stove, green dude. You just made a purchase that was highly racist and will soon be against the law.
Please explain how buying a stove is racist. It is a stove. It is what everyone cooks on.
When you use a gas stove, it is harmful to people of color. You are proving you hate black people by using a stove with gas hookups. You are aiding and abetting to climate change to all persons who are not white.
That sounds pretty suspect. How does it affect climate change but only to people with darker skin? Do you think I am a fool for believing in your cult?
Yes, sir. When a liberal stands up and declares something is racist, we must work right away to eradicate said item from Earth. By the way, what color was this stove you purchased illegally?
This was a legally purchased kitchen appliance at a major retailer. And even though it is not your business what kind of stove I bought, the stove color was white.
Aha, I knew it. Proving even more that you are extra dextra racist. You racist dolts and your white stoves. That is it, green dude. If you refuse to acknowledge other races besides you beating a white something that cur, I will be forced to run my hands through your long flowing mane.
Almost every restaurant in America has a gas stove. Most people in the USA have a gas stove. This includes all people regardless of the color of their skin. People just want food to be cooked correctly. No real human spends all day thinking about what race someone is. Do you really think when someone cooks food, they are thinking about hurting other races?
Absolutely, sir. You are proving Beezy is a racist. Just for that racist outburst, I am now required to take it to Larkisha's Rib Shack and Greens. You will be eating gizzards, collard greens, and GMO rice. Also, just like a certain Clinton, you must also carry a bottle of hot sauce in your person.
How is eating at a Rib Shack going to prove I am not racist?
Plus, to prove you are a Democrat, you must walk in there with a bloody scam on that face.
Sorry. No can do. I will not put a scam on my face. That's gonna be a no for me, dog.
Sorry. You will do. You will put a bloody scam on that face. That's gonna be a yes for me, dog.
Look. I do not need to prove to anyone I am not a racist by eating at a Rib Shack and wear a scam.
You bias snitch. You need to zip it. Zip it good. When a problem comes around, you must zip it. You must go into that Rib Shack with that scam on that face. Order your gizzards, greens, and eat the bugs. And you are required to apologize to the entire staff for being white.
Why do I have to apologize for being born with my skin I was born with? Only people that spend all day thinking about race are the racists. I love all people and believe in learning from all people.
If you're not a racist, then look me in the kumquats and say it right now as I remove my dungarees.
I am not going to look at your kumquats. Quit looking for excuses to make me look at your junk.
That was the wrong choice of words, says Green Dude. My ear canals are offended at what you just stated, sir. Shot to the heart. And you're too vain. You give love a bad name.
Okay, it was nice seeing you. Now I have to get back to work.
That is misinformation, sir. I have not released you from my custody yet, Green Dude. If you were not a racist, then why are you against millions of undocumented friends of Americans coming into our country and using our resources?
I am all for legal immigration. I am even okay with making it easier for people to come here. Legally. What I am not into is an illegal immigrant buffet. Guatemala's biggest export should not be Guatemalans.
That sounds completely racist to me, sir. Just for that racist and obnoxious outburst, I am now required to have you remove said dungarees right this instant. On the count of three, I need you to do be placing those dungarees right there in front of my person. Then I will be inspecting those kumquats. I need to verify you're not hiding any assault rifles, any T-bone steaks, or any propane or propane accessories in your junk.
Why would I hide T-bone steaks inside my junk?
Sir, that is obvious. You could be marinating your steaks while hiding your carbon. You will soon be counting your carbon credits. Your steaks would be enough carbon so that you cannot breathe for over 6 weeks. So it is obvious you will be hiding your meat products where you smuggle your plums. We also need to be placing a Lysnica microchip inside your wrist. We are in need of doing high-tech surveillance on your person. You shall be coming with me to get your injection, sir.
It looks like I am going to have to get physical with not accepting this mark of the beast. While I am working, please check out the Proof Negative radio show. He is on weeknights 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time. That is 6 to 9 p.m. Pacific Time. He has great co-hosts, excellent guests, and shares all the news you need to know about so you can fight the new world order. Do not stand in line for food and get a microchip. The time to say no to the new world order is right now. Go to freedomizerradio.com and click on Listen Live. Look for the other shows on the network as well. But do check out the Proof Negative radio show.
Bad Green Dude, you keep stepping in it. Stop telling people to resist the microchip. We need everyone to eat Z-bugs and own Z-nothing. keep watching Vomiting with the Stars and do not ever listen to the Proof Negative radio show. If you must watch news, then please do continue to listen to the Fake News Network. It costs us a lot of cash money to create news from our artificial intelligence. Do not accept real news from real peoples. You should only be listening to us. Now get out there and eat your beetle burgers, get that microchip, and most importantly, get your gene therapies and select the suicide pod.
Hope that was all right.
I think the wiretap is gay.
He's into everything.
Oh, is he? He's like the little freaky?
Yeah, he diddles kids. He goes after whatever.
That's pretty sick. The way he wants to take his pants off right in front of him and examine him. His fruit and berries.
you saw his face light up when Broccoli Man said that he had a white stove.
Right?
I don't remember seeing any like black stoves or green stoves or anything like that.
I have. In fact, I feel like I only saw white stoves in apartments, and every home that I ever saw, like house, they always had a black stove.
Oh.
And my friend has a black stove with a glass top. She hates
That's
it.
Electric? But,
yeah, that glass cooktop.
Okay.
All those, they're pretty sleek and sexy. But, yeah, she doesn't
like
it.
Yeah, but it's also electric, so it's not that sexy.
No, yeah, it's very expensive. My electric bill is insane. Insane. And I need the heat because I live in a house, and the house doesn't have the greatest insulation. It has lath and plaster and what looks like brown paper bags in between the walls and the outside. I don't know
what people don't know out here is that when mom or grandma or whomever cooked all day in the house, that kept the house warm.
That's right. And they burned fire, but the fire is probably a fireplace or a wood-burning stove.
But you have a roast in the oven. That helps for hours.
For sure.
All right. Well, let's go ahead and open the phones up here. Welcome in, caller.
Hello, people. How are you?
Hello. I'm well, and you?
Oh, I enjoy listening to your narrative.
Oh, that's
you
wonderful.
You know, you were talking about cryptocurrency.
Mm-hmm.
And I involved in some platforms doing trading, and they pay off well. But here's the thing. You got people out there, I guess, in every mold that's just aren't honest. they want to bring you on this to rip you off at some point in time. Well, you know what they call a rug pull. And really, okay, it's not necessary if you're doing what you say. Basically, if people are pooling their money and you're trading it. Now, there's a couple of companies out there that have been around for 3 years and they do as they say they're going to do. But you have some that don't. And a lot of these individuals are coming from, of course, outside of the United States. And I think some of them have voices like those that was accused of 9/11. But if people buy to speculate, which is good, it's all right. You know, you can buy $1,000 or something for 3 cents. If you got the money, then do it and just hang on to it and see what happens. But a lot of people now are doing the AI trading, and even on, you know, I've been doing stocks and options for a long time, and you have institutions that's trading with AI, and a regular human being just can't keep up with that. Biggest thing I see, the problem is that you run into people that not honest. And of course, a lot of crypto has not come underneath SEC regulations, which is one of the reasons why some is so attractive. But then that attractiveness and that lure of profits, then you got to give up those protections of being constantly monitored by the SEC. Of course, you know what they do.
Well, you know, when I first started trading, it took me a while to realize that I couldn't use a lot of these trading platforms, and I had to move my money around and pay a lot more fees than the average person because I live in New York. And New York doesn't allow trade of certain things here. And so in a way, like, they're still kind of controlling something that's supposed to be unregulated. And it's frustrating because I had to literally move money through Chinese platforms because they allowed for everything. But some of those platforms would take, like, 2 weeks to update their software or expand their network. And I'd be wondering if my money was doing okay for that 2 weeks.
Well, you're right. New York, Texas, California, South Carolina, maybe one or two others, they don't allow you to get involved in those platforms when you got that area code. Of course, you can use a VoIP phone and pick up an area code like I'm here, got a 314. I'm not in Missouri.
Well, you can use a VPN also.
Yes, you can. So there's ways to get around it. I don't know what the penalty would be if they ever said, caught you doing it. I don't even know why they even worry about it. I mean, people
right.
that involved in those things should be grown enough to know what the risk is. You don't see many children getting in, like, tobacco and alcohol access, but I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah, it was a real pain. I'd have to buy, let's say, Litecoin on Coinbase, and I'd have to transfer it into, let's say, something called Hotbit or CoinX, and
mm-hmm.
I'd have to wait for that transfer to appear. It could take up to 8 hours. And then I'd be able to buy the coin that I want, and then I'd have to transfer it out into a wallet, which cost me coin in whatever I just bought. That's how they did their fees there. So if you bought, like when I was buying Shiba, if I wanted to buy Shiba, I'd have to buy it, I'd have to pay in Shiba to move the Shiba. And then I'd put it in my wallet, where if I wanted to move it again, I'd have to pay gas, or if I wanted to cash it out. That, you know, it would be tremendous fee. So it was like a fee to get the money to buy the money, and then a fee to move the money into my wallet, and a fee to move it out of the wallet. It's just nonstop.
Well, you know, some of those coins now, of course, Ethereum has very high fees, but you got the Polygon, Polygon, their fees are very reasonable.
Right.
But, you know, Ethereum's fees is very high. And if you ever go to if you ever deposit with a deposit too much beyond what you stipulated that you wanted to deposit, well, to get that back, they've got a minimum amount of about $24 worth of Ethereum that you have to have as fees, gas fees, before you can take out $5, get your $5 that you overpaid. And
right.
That's kind of crappy.
Well, I think Polygon, or was it known as just Polymatic?
Matic, yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Yeah, I think Ethereum is a little bit cheaper now that Ethereum 2 has officially launched. The gas fees are a little bit lower from what I'm hearing, because I remember when
that too.
People were paying over $1,000 just to move a few hundred bucks.
Yeah,
it didn't make any sense. So you had to make it worth your money if you were going to move
mm-hmm.
it. And that was just for buying startup coins. But, yeah, like it's pretty popular. What is it, like number 8 in the list of millions of coins that we have already out? And it's up.
Yeah,
it's
been maintaining, too. It's been maintaining. Bitcoin has been maintaining. of course, you know, you've been exchange, they'll swap those Bitcoin for USDs, which Coinbase will redeposit back into your ACH with your bank account.
Right.
Which is pretty cool. But I guess it's just like anything else. And one thing, too, the government don't like it because they can't trade. Once you put your coins on your Nano X and put it in your pocket, there's no way that they can find those. There's no name associated, just numbers. Characters.
That's right. I mean, you can see every transaction for the history of the account. But, yeah, you sure don't see a name. A lot of these wallets they can ask you. Like, I have Trust Wallet. They don't have my name. But MetaMask does. What's the other one I have? Coinbase Wallet does.
You got for Exodus?
Yeah, I can't use that on here.
Yeah. Well, I've used MetaMask with one program that was trading in Matic. Then they went to the whole damn thing on rug pull. So they was doing very well. All of a sudden, by October, they started getting crazy, and now they. And you know, one thing about somebody that's dishonest, they don't like people to call them names.
Right.
So what they do, yeah. If they have a channel on Telegram, they would cut it off because they don't like people. Because people naturally, hell, if they get screwed, they're going to call you a name. They don't like to be called names.
So my favorite thing this week was when those people from Rebel News walked with the CEO of Pfizer and just asking question after question, and the CEO was like, thank you, have a nice day. Good night. Not answering a thing. That was hilarious.
Yeah. That's what they do. That's when they got you. They think they got you, but when you get them, they don't want to be the object of the ridicule.
Right.
And the MSN.
Yeah, they don't want to admit that they got you.
Yeah.
So I'm going to bring on one other person here. So we have Joseph from North Carolina that wants to say hi.
Hey, how you doing?
Hello, Joseph from North Carolina.
Yeah, when they got you like that, when you're walking with them and they just want to ignore you, that's just when you got to cold cock them right upside the head. Bam! You know what I mean? That'll be a new story.
That sure would be.
That was hilarious. He's just walking right to him, not trying to run away, just walking in the same direction, and just 29 questions, couldn't answer one of them.
Yeah. Yeah, man. And they probably wouldn't answer them anyway. Doesn't matter who would ask them. And that's what's everything that's going on now. I didn't see that, actually, what you're talking about, but I've seen similar situations where that's happened. And a report has been ignored. But I haven't really been paying too much attention to the national political scene, really, with this Speaker of the House thing going on. And I was talking to my buddies have been telling me about it on the phone. And I just go, yeah, and ignoring them and phasing it out while they talk about it. And I just don't know what, and I feel like I've been happier, not paying attention to that nonsense. With their committees and their investigations, and that never amount to anything but a waste of time. And it's just that now all this is really a show. It's a circus act and a show. And people say, well, that's because they're operating behind the scenes and the people, we know what's going on. But what are they doing behind the scenes too? What's going on out there in the world really that's happening that hasn't happened already? Everything is crashing. Okay, it's been crashing ever since I've been born. We know the Federal Reserve has stolen all our money and hijacked our economy. Okay, they did that in 1913. They crashed it in 1929, so they've had it ever since then. So what more can be done? I mean, we saw a horrific World War II and then all the skirmishes, Vietnam and Gulf War and everything in Afghanistan. Well, what more can happen? World War III, and what else can really these people pull that control everything? What's on the horizon for them? Or where's God in all this? You know, just God.
Well, they,
you know?
They really want to transfer everything over to Satan. And he will rule for a short time, but it's going to fail because there's too much greed involved.
Okay,
I
can see that.
I want to play that clip for everybody with Rebel News going after the CEO of Pfizer. So I want to show you, B.
Can I ask you, when did you know that the vaccines didn't stop transmission? How long did you know that without saying it publicly?
Thank you very much.
I'm sorry. Answer that question. I mean, we now know that the vaccines didn't stop transmission, but why did you keep it secret? You said it was 100% effective, then 90%, then 80%, then 70%. But we now know that the vaccines do not stop transmission. Why did you keep that secret?
Have a nice day.
I won't have a nice day until I know the answer. Why did you keep it a secret that your vaccine did not stop transmission?
Is it time to apologize to the world, sir, to give refunds back to the countries that poured all their money into your vaccine that doesn't work, your ineffective vaccine? Are you not ashamed of what you've done in the last couple of years?
Do you have any apologies to the public, sir?
Are you proud of it? You've made millions on the backs of people's entire livelihood. How does that feel to walk the streets as a millionaire on the backs of the regular person at home in Australia, in England, in Canada?
What do you think about on your yacht, sir? What do you think about on your private jet? Are you worried about product liability? Are you worried about myocarditis?
What about the sudden deaths?
What do you have to say about young men dropping dead of heart attacks every day? Why won't you answer these basic questions?
Basic.
No apologies, sir.
Do you think you should be charged criminally for some of the criminal behavior you've obviously been a part of?
How much money have you personally made off the vaccine?
How many boosters do you think it'll take for you to be happy enough with your earnings? Nothing?
Who did you meet with here in secret? Will you disclose who you met with? Who did you pay commissions to? In the past, Pfizer has paid $2.3 billion in fines for deceptive marketing. Have you engaged in that same conduct again? Are you under investigation like you were before for your deceptive marketing, sir?
If any other product in the world doesn't work as promised, you get a refund. Should you not refund to countries that laid out billions for your ineffective vaccine?
Are you used to only sympathetic media, so you don't know how to answer any questions?
Shame on you, sir.
Shame on you.
Same.
That's Albert Bourla, the boss of Pfizer. His people were pushing us around a little bit.
Right, he's pretty fit. I don't reckon he's had one jab.
I'm huffing and puffing a bit. At least I didn't have any myocarditis.
I dare say he's shocked that in his safe space at the WEF here in Davos that he was challenged in a way that he's never to date been challenged.
Well, that's the thing. We're not accredited media here. We're on the outside of the perimeter. So he's only used to the softballs from CNN and MSNBC and people like that. I asked him a real question about product liability. No answer. A real question about Pfizer's past deceptive practices. You know, they paid the largest fine in American history to the Justice Department for deceptive marketing. I don't know if that's underway right now. I don't know if they're being investigated, but I think they should be. When did he know that the vaccine didn't actually stop transmission? I wanted to find out because surely he knew before we knew. Why didn't he tell us? I don't know. Avi, I'm really proud of that question. It was like a kind of walking scrum.
A joint effort there, because I know it's very hard when you're working in the moment to actually remember all the activities that these people are criminals in my book. The stuff that they've engaged in the last 2 years, they need to be held accountable for. And in the moment, you don't usually get this much time. He had a bit of a walk. and to actually work together and be able to work around those trying to protect him, it was exactly what I feel we're here for.
That big gorilla guy was sort of pushing me around a bit, but, you know, I've got a low center of gravity myself. I'm worried about one thing, though, Avi. Pfizer is connected to big media in an enormous way. I'm worried that they're going to try and block this video. I'm worried they're going to try and cancel it on YouTube, on Twitter, on Instagram, on Facebook, places like that. So I want to look straight at the camera and say, folks, if you cannot find this video out there, go to WEFreports.com. That's a special website we've set up for the World Economic Forum, WEFreports.com. And if you feel moved by our coverage, please consider chipping in, because we're 100% crowdfunded. Obviously, we get no ad money. We've been completely demonetized. But if you like that kind of accountability journalism, Avi Yamini from Australia, I'm Ezra Levant from Canada. We've got a great team from around the world. Please go to WEFreports.com. Last word to you, Avi.
And no matter where they cancel this video, we will update and have a current version there at WEFreports.com. And there you can share all the content from all the guys on the ground here doing outstanding work. And if you agree that it is as important as and as outstanding as I think it is, then please chip in a couple of dollars to help pay the cost to do this.
Yeah, well, that was a great moment. We'll have plenty more. Congrats, my friend. All right, Ezra Levant and Avi Yamini for Rebel News.
So, just for the radio listeners, that CEO of Pfizer was actually walking with them. They didn't just yell questions into thin air. They were actually walking at the same pace, like even with them, with the CEO of Pfizer. The CEO
They should be prosecuted for the last 2 years. That'd be impossible, because you'd have to prosecute for the last 80 years of what the crimes that have been committed against the people around the world, the lies that have been perpetrated, the wars that we've been led into to believe that were true but that were not. You know, everything is with one big lie. And really, there's no money that has been spent anyway, because all the money's fake, because it's all controlled by central banks and it's printed out of thin air. You know, so really, what we are the money, we're the labor, we're the theft. They stole us, you know, and that's the big fat lie. It's Satan's greatest trick, I guess, like they like to say, or the evil, you know. Do we really exist? I mean, of what we're doing here and what we're doing, is it real? Because government is just, we don't have a voice. What we vote, it doesn't matter. You know, we want to enforce our rights. We want to ask questions like these guys are doing. They don't get answers. You're not going to get answers. You try to uncover something you know you're not supposed to see, they'll kill you. So, you know, it's just, it's crazy. It has to be a worldwide wake-up call or a revolution. And you know, where are they going to run and hide these people? They'll just pull the plug and launch the missiles, I guess. You know, go in their bunkers for 80 years. I don't know. It's kind of like an end game.
That clip is not on YouTube. They have one on with a rebel reporter questioning Georgia Governor Brian Kemp. If he tried to dodge questions, that's on YouTube. But the one you just got through playing is not on YouTube.
No, I found it on Rumble, so I don't know. I didn't look at YouTube for that.
And, you know, that's what just pisses me off. It's about time you've gotten grown and overcome all so many things, then you get this point in your life and you're supposed to be tending with your grandchildren, and then all of a sudden this kind of crap starts coming up, which you know is totally wrong. And like you said, Joseph, where do you go from here? The only alternative is to start going upside some of these people's heads.
Yeah.
If they have a real skull, or some of them don't even act like they're human.
They're AI robots. Who knows?
Well, John Kerry was talking about, like, how they are extraterrestrials. If you saw him talk.
Yeah, demonic.
I believe they are, man. I think if you raise their shirt up, you'll probably find a lid that you could turn a knob and let it down, and you got a lot of lights flashing and wires running.
You have to be different, yeah, because to hurt people, innocent people like they do, and to just walk around with a straight face and not care and be so detached from reality like they are, you know, you have to be almost like not human. You have to be worshiping a different god or something, or, you know, you just have to be on a different level than what we are, you know? I mean, I just couldn't imagine hurting innocent people like these people do.
No, neither can I. I taught my kids to be honest, to always be honest. Never do something to somebody to hurt them or to deny them.
Yeah.
That's what I taught my children. I taught them don't hate. I taught them that because I was taught that by my grandfather. But nowadays, it just seems like they just don't give a damn.
Yeah. Well, the kids today are terrible, really, as far as that goes. I mean, eating out at any place, if you dare to try to eat any fast food out there, which I'm petrified of doing that, but about 2 months ago, I did go through a Wendy's drive-thru, and of course, I regretted it. Why did I do that? Because they screwed up the order, number one, and second, it was a ripoff. And third, it's like there's no care. There's hands to throw you the bag. No customer service. They screw up the order. You know, I mean, it's just a nightmare.
Hey, let me tell you about a Wendy's episode that I had a few months ago. So I ordered a baked potato for my wife, and they told me to pull up, and they'll bring it right out to me. And I waited 14 minutes before I went in. And the lady had the nerve to say, well, it's going to be another 45 minutes if you want to go back in your car.
Oh, my Lord.
Whoa.
Who is just going to sit for an hour? They should have just said they didn't have them.
Right.
Wow.
Did you get a
refund?
Yeah,
let me just post up here for an hour in the Wendy's parking lot, and I'll just wait and not say anything when I could have cooked it my damn self. For much quicker than that in the air fryer.
Yeah, that's true.
Hell, no wonder the FBI didn't jump you like they did to my pillow guy when he was in the drive-up line waiting on his food.
Pull up. So if you ever just don't want to go, you just want to go through the drive-thru just to get them back or something, pull up and say, do you accept Federal Reserve notes here?
And they'll say
the response
no.
Is. Yeah.
Oh, try and pay with $2 bills and see what they say.
Yeah, they don't know where a $2 bill is, most people. You're right.
I probably don't even have mine.
Our Susan B. Anthony $2 coin.
Oh, yes. That's right. That was a thing. That's right.
I remember the Sacagawea coins from like 20 years ago, but that was only a dollar bill or a dollar coin.
Yeah, they took her off that when they did the next round.
Well, what happened to me now? Well, so I figured that's really one of the reasons why I wanted to call in. You know, I ran for office here in North Carolina, and I'm going to be running again. Well, but in the meantime, though, I got a job working third shift, working as a security officer, private police officer, whatnot. And I had to go through the training, get certified, and then my company then sends off my paperwork to the state to register me so I can get a guard card. You have to get a registration card. So when you're in a uniform and if you're, you know, doing protective services or police work or carrying a gun, you have to have some sort of license or certification by the government. They regulated. Well, the state refused me. They said they said a moral turpitude. My what? I have no felonies. I have no record. You know, so what are they talking about? You know. So I think it's because of my political run for office, political retaliation.
Wow.
So I get fired. I'm fired now. Now, so the state won't let me work. I can't work. I can't do this work. That's something.
That's insane.
They say moral turpitude. I've heard of those words before, but how did they say that because you ran for political office?
No, they wouldn't tell me. They just said moral turpitude. That's what they said. My record came back, and because they do a background check, and they you do your fingerprints and whatnot,
yeah.
And you know, and they take a picture of you, and it just came back that they said lack of moral turpitude. That's what they said.
Somebody's
and
been
I can't think
to
of
you.
Anything. There's nothing on my record. I mean, I just don't understand.
Somebody's been listening to your shows, man.
That's what I'm thinking.
And then there you go again. That is about as low down as you get. You're going to stop a person from working because of their political views are different from yours? So you're
well,
going to
that,
do some underhanded
want,
stuff?
Liberals want
what
you
they
to
call
cancel
it, Rick
anything. Rick? They want you to be homeless if you're a conservative.
Yeah,
that's a
well,
that's what you call ghost red flag.
Well, the PPS board, I've done some research, and the investigator that handles the registrations for my area, her name is Mary Shepherd, and she's a black woman, so most likely a progressive, liberal, and you know, and probably get a background check on me. And of course, they searched my social media, saw my shows. So that I still got my political committee website up there on my social media. So obviously that's what it was. You're absolutely correct. And I'm going after them. I'm appealing it, and I'm writing letters. But you have no voice. We have no complaint. And you know who am I going to call? Ghostbusters? You know who am I going to complain to? Except for the people.
Yeah.
And where are the people at? You know, where's the troops?
You should see
you know?
Them personally.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a civil tort claim. Yeah, I'm looking into that right now. But all that takes time and you know and energy and it's gonna take away the thing from the things that I'm claiming I'm doing. You know.
You know, I'm tired of saying this. I really am. But I've been keep telling you, black people are some of the biggest racists that you ever want to see. Yeah. You will find out.
Yeah, she definitely had an attitude.
Especially these Democrats. These Democrats. You guys hear me say, I know you guys hear me say this. I know Proof said I don't even think he's a black. Yes, I am. I'm just telling you what I've observed. Now, not all, but those in that position. See, that woman, and I'm not saying this is what she did, but I'm saying this is probably what she did. They probably looked up on your social media and heard you talking things that would be associated with white nationalists and so on and so on and so on and white supremacy.
Yeah, yeah.
When somebody
well,
do things like that,
he's a racist, definitely.
Well, yeah, that's the word right there, Trump support. I hope you ain't got no pictures on your social media with a MAGA cap on like I do.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I got Ronald Reagan videos up there and everything. I'm a terrorist, definitely.
Far right extremist, how dare you?
Yeah, you know, and this is the thing, and this is what people are. Been finding out this has been happening to a lot of people around the country. They've been getting blackballed and black, you know, shadow banned and whatnot just because of their conservative patriot community beliefs. Bank account shut down. I mean, I've heard that. I mean, I've heard, you know, and I didn't really believe it. Now I really believe it. I'm like, because it's happening to me. So imagine, here we are, we're talking about all this. People don't believe us, this stuff's happening. You know, I didn't believe it really, you know, that this was all happening. And now I'm like, wow, that's happening to me, you know. I mean, it's crazy.
Well, my big question is, why are people still supporting these banks that shut people down for no reason like that?
I don't know. Does the majority of the country believe this way now? Are they progressive? Are they these liberal wacky baddies?
At least half, honestly.
Yeah.
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 No,
media.
Well, let me say this, and V, you probably heard me say this with the scams. It's the same concept. You have 30% of the public that believes this, and you got 5% maybe that are like us, and the rest of the people just go with whatever they're told.
Yeah, I've heard you say that.
And because
yeah.
they're afraid of the 30% telling them off. So, in essence, you got two-thirds of the public that are scared of the one-third that will say something.
What about the percentage out there that people just don't want to be bothered anymore? They're just tired of it. Like, you know, you got the 60-something-year-olds out there that just, like, I don't care anymore. You know, the country's gone. Just leave me alone. You know?
Well, therein lies the people that if you're not willing to say something, then you're part of it. So they're part of that two-thirds.
Okay.
Right.
Well, you know, the reason I'm not with them is because I look at my grandchildren, especially my most recent grandson, all through his life coming up, he has done like he was told. As far as staying out of trouble, study hard, he's done all those things. But now what's precluding is this massive debt and the other inappropriation and malfeasance. That's going to affect him somewhere down the line, his kids down the line. So, hell, we got to do something. I'm sorry. I know it would be nice if we could go someplace and lay back on the beach and drink pink juice and, you know, and whatever. But it's just with so much corruption, so much evil, it just won't allow you to do that.
You know, and
he's not
really,
the average person that thinks that they can just comply to freedom.
Yeah. You know, and really, when I was a landscaper owning my own landscaping business, I was pretty much doing everything off the cuff and off the radar as much as I could. I mean, I had 68 accounts with 11 employees, and man, I tried to do everything under the radar without the state getting involved as much as I can. I had the Environmental Protection Agency show up at one of my jobs once because they saw a backpack sprayer in one of my trucks, and I played it off to them. They said, well, when you're running a business in North Carolina, I said, whoa, what do you mean running a business? I said, I do this as a hobby. You know, he didn't know what to say, you know, and that's how I was. I was just a smart ass, but I went and got civilized, and I got calm and had kids and stopped being that crazy guy out there that was like, I don't give a crap, what are you going to do to me, you know? But now I don't live like that anymore. I'm more responsible and more I care now. You know, like I said, like when I made that comment about smacking a guy upside the head 30 years ago, that's what kind of guy I was. I would have done that. You know, I mean, but it's nowadays I'm not like that, and I think that's what happened to this country. We've lost our balls. You know,
sure.
we've lost our courage to stand up.
And you have people supporting the ideological subversion. And we don't even need the government or the media to attack us. We're doing it to one another.
Yes, that's a good point, yeah. Yep. We eat each other up.
Yeah.
So what is it that will wake people up? Is it that if we have the North American Union that's being discussed again?
I don't know. Is it?
You said you missed that?
No, we need that 3%. The 3% that fought against
the revolution.
Great Britain.
Yeah, the 3%. Yeah.
We need that here now. We need people willing to take up arms and fight a war. But the war is right here. And I think one of the stupidest things Joe Biden ever said was, why do people need these ARs or whatever, AKs? What are they going to do, use them against? They say they're going to use them against the government, but he's like, what, are you going to fight the military? It's like, no, stupid, you don't fight the military. They can't fight against American citizens. You stand on the steps of your capital. You take up the office.
And he said that
the Senate and the House.
Times,
yes, he did.
Yeah.
The dumbest thing
that
ever come out of his mouth. But he speaks from an earpiece talking to him. Somebody in the sweatpants in the basement is talking into his ear.
No, I think we can't get no Valerie Socorro, or maybe Valerie Jarrett or Michael Robinson Obama, who I'm sure is a nice lady.
I think it's
why come conservatives can't be at those press conferences with some earpiece jamming equipment so he can't hear what he's been told over those earpieces?
Yeah, that'd be great. They do make equipment.
He'd be
like
ushered off stage.
That'd be great. I would love to see this. Sad. I mean, not too many people want to talk about the fact that this Joe Biden doesn't look like the one that was the senator for 30-plus years. This is like a totally different look.
Yeah, I know. I noticed that, too. Yeah, he looks different. Yep.
I mean, is that a thing that they do in politics when, you know, you have someone that expires or who's not doing so great health-wise? Do you get a look-alike? Do they have one already lined up?
Remember,
you know,
sometimes
a lot of them have...
he has a tattoo and sometimes he doesn't.
Hell, Jesse
Hamlin's better than he is today. You know that?
I know a guy who looked like Obama, and he used to get paid to go around and wave at people and stuff. He never opened his mouth because he didn't sound the closest thing to Obama, but he looked just like him. He had to put some foundation on and maybe a little bit of – put a little spray in his hair. But he is a dead ringer for Obama. And he got multiple sclerosis, so he couldn't do it anymore. But I actually know somebody who was a body double, but he wasn't going to get behind a microphone and start, you know, signing things with a different signature. But he passed. I don't even know what's going on. Like, who's running this country?
Yeah.
And the military is supposed to get in the way when we have what looks like, you know, treason.
Well, the military really has no – I think we discussed this on my show where the military really has no obligation to work for the people. They really work for the president and the Congress, the government, you know. Right. It's the National Guard, which was really – that was supposed to be the militia that is for the people.
Right. We don't see any of them doing anything. But I realize I don't think the military is going to step forward, not when they've got so many higher-ups who are now men who identify as women. Or, you know, when they've got the military scared because they're looking through the social media to see if they're far-right extremists.
Yeah, I agree. We've tried putting together a national militia called RighteousArmy.org. We're gathering people across the – we did 40 Zoom calls, gathering patriots from around the country, and it just fizzled out again. You know, had a great thing going where we try to get coordinators in each state to coordinate with each other and get committees assemblies set up, and it just fizzled right out again.
That's exciting. I would like that.
Yeah. I mean, it's still up. The website's still up, righteousarmy.org. And we on every Tuesday on my show, we do the Restore the Republic, where we get the lawful du jour republic on there and try to, you know, we've been trying to get the people to a rally call and we've had success, but then it just fizzles. It picks up and goes away. It's like we get a group of people on there, yeah, and all of a sudden it just fizzles away again. It's like, I just don't get it. I don't understand. You know, maybe things just have to really get bad for everybody to say, Joe, I'm ready. You know, or, hey, I'm ready over there, you know?
They do.
Well, you know, you got about 30 people that's in Congress that wasn't born in this country. And people say, well, what difference does that make? Well, I tell you what difference does it make, because when stuff starts going down, they going back home. They going to stay here.
Yeah.
That's true. Well, I sign up for the National Militia Network Righteous Army. I'm going to sign up.
All right. Tell them Joe Gibson sent you. Joe Gibson. Mike Singer will probably be the guy that will reply back to you. He's the coordinator, national coordinator. But they just tell him Joe Gibson sent you. But, that's great. And that's what we need. We need all 50 states. We need point people, point men or women in all 50 states. And you start the assemblies. And then we start, when we got, even had sheriffs come to the Zoom meetings that were on board with us. I interviewed Darlief there in Michigan. I had him on board. Mm-hmm. He's on board to restore the Republic.
Nice.
Of course, Sheriff Mack. And,
oh, nice.
You know, and,
I'm so glad you said Republic, by the way.
What's
I'm so glad you're here in this country being called a democracy. What do you say, righteousarmy.org, Mr. Pionk?
Righteousarmy.org, yes. Yeah. Righteousarmy.org. Yep.
And thank you for calling it a constitutional republic. I'm sick and tired of seeing it called, or hearing it called a democracy.
You will never, ever hear me say democracy. That's one of my pet peeves.
Thank goodness.
Never.
Same.
Can't stand that.
That's communist.
Yes,
yeah.
It is. I don't want one party just choosing everything.
I just don't want to know why Brian Kemp was at Davos, though.
The same reason why they asked the governor of Texas if he would disavow WEF, and he said, I want what's best for Texas and for America. He refused to disavow. He refused. And he has his own page on the WEF. That's why. These people all get a little something. They get a little money. And you know what's sad? And Pianchi could probably agree with this one. Is the money that they give these people is probably spent before they even get it. It's not enough to be betraying your own country, your own values, your own constitution.
Yeah.
It's not
well,
enough.
Yes, before they get it. Look at the $20 minimum wage. That's gone. So you go into the store, a pound of hamburger is about $11. Hey, a pork chop. Hey, see, I've seen a pack of pork chops, and I think it was six in there. And they was averaging about almost $2.50 a piece.
Yeah, I don't like that. I don't think there should be a minimum wage. The government shouldn't tell people what to pay someone. The small businesses are the ones that get that the worst, again.
Well, you know,
so
those as soon as you get a minimum, as soon as you get a wage increase, prices go up.
Mm-hmm.
And Trump was right. China shouldn't be buying up farmland. Hell, they can't buy forts. They can't buy telecommunication systems. They can't buy AT&T. So why in the hell are you letting them buy up all this farmland?
Why is
right.
Bill Gates buying it?
Well, the
he
Chinese farmland is under armed guard protection. You try and go anywhere near it, they will shoot you on sight. But that's not the case with Bill Gates' property. So I don't know. It's very shady. Considering China likes to steal our intellectual property, who knows what they're setting up on these farms?
Yeah.
Wasn't there a brief time that they were mailing people seeds in little envelopes from China? People were, like, freaked out. They were just getting... Right. I don't know about anybody planting any of those seeds to see what they were.
Remember the D.C. killer that was going around? Remember the D.C. killer going around, driving around in the trunk of a car?
Yeah, they do.
That was crazy.
Yeah, it was.
They couldn't figure out who was doing it.
Was it like a father and son?
Yeah.
Forget.
They were hiding in the trunk of a car. Yeah.
They weren't they like snipers? Expert sharpshooters or something. Some crazy people in this world.
Yeah.
And now they finally caught this dude who stabbed all these college students. They found his DNA, I guess it's the same. That's pretty sick.
Yeah, every couple of years you get that random serial killer that just catches the eye of the people, you know.
And they always look at the social media. They want to see if you voted for Trump.
Yeah.
There seems to be this belief that Trump brought people who were closeted and private about their far-right extremism or their racism or their bigotry. Trump made them comfortable enough. He created an atmosphere for them to come out and be more public and open about their bigotry, their, you know, extremism, their hatred.
I want to know how people that are so black that they don't show up in pictures, but they're part of the white supremacist.
Right. You could be any color now and be a white supremacist.
Yeah, I noticed that. I've noticed that too. Now you could be Mexican, brown, and be a white supremacist. That's amazing. You know, I guess now there's no qualifications anymore. You just do whoever you're called.
Yeah, the only qualification is that if you're not a Democrat, you're a white supremacist.
There you go. Yeah.
That's true.
Amazing.
And if you don't agree with the main narrative, with the Democrats or the left, then automatically you're a Trump supporter and a Trump voter and a right-wing, right something, or Trumpist, Trumper, Rumpist, Rumper. It's so ridiculous. I didn't vote for Trump in either election. I think elections are fixed, especially living in New York. I've seen them called before I even finished bringing them to the location that they're supposed to be tabulated. I think it's BS. The big major elections especially, I think you have a better chance of getting somebody locally, like a city council member or a judge. You know, those are probably a little bit less manipulated, but for the most part, when it comes to presidencies, governorships, I feel like they're fixed all the way. Because you'll see people
complain. Well,
that's
why we have to restore our common law system. Right now, this de facto system that we have now in place is a broken, dishonest system that just can't work. I mean, it just won't work. It's just a broken machine. You know,
what country was it that just recently brought back handwritten ballots? I forget. They got rid of the voting system completely with the machines. Now everybody's back to... what country was that? I don't think it was a state.
Oh, I'm not sure, actually, what country that was. Maybe it was South Africa.
They brought back the
probably in South America. There's one of those countries down in South America where they're having all the crap. Libya or something like that?
Let me see.
Maybe Venezuela?
I'm not sure.
I mean, we call them Banana Republic, and it seems like they got more sense than America.
Right.
Well, what happened with that Chavez guy anyway? They wanted him out of there, and he didn't go. He stood up to the world, you know, and when they want somebody out, usually they get them.
And I think that's why all these classified documents have shown up. I think that, personally, I think it was a setup.
Yeah.
And the news media is worse than denominator. You ever listen to them when they report a Supreme Court decision?
Well, yeah, but they're just reading off teleprompters, and the same person goes to every fake news and tells them what to say. That's why they all say the same thing in the same exact words.
If the Supreme Court rejects something, well, tell how the judges voted. They only tell how the judges voted when it's going something against what Trump appointees.
Right. Hey, we have another caller. I'm going to go ahead and see what's going on this one.
All right.
We have a Miami number here, the 305 area code. Go ahead.
Oh, that might be Mike.
Okay. Did you invite somebody,
really?
Joseph?
Yeah, I think I told him to call. Yeah, Mike, I sent out a couple text messages. That's from the Righteous Army there, right? And the big virus hoax there. This guy knows everything about the virus stuff, too, how it's a big hoax.
Okay, well, his mic is open if he wants to talk.
You there, Mike?
I don't know. You know, or maybe it's not him. I don't know.
Hello, caller.
Caller.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, guys. My phone was on mute. I'm sitting here talking to you. Nobody could hear me.
Oy vey.
Yeah, Mike with thebigvirushoax.com and righteousarmy.org. I called in because I was just getting ready to hit the sack, and when I went to turn my phone off, I saw a text message from Joseph, so I figured I'd go ahead and call
him. I got a female here. I don't know her name. She said she's going to sign up for the Righteous Army. She's down with that, the militia. I figured, boy, let me get Mike on here, because, you know, and we're talking about the virus too scam. So have at it, brother.
Joseph sent me a text saying he had $1 million donor for me, so I had to call in.
That must be beyond.
I guess apologies for calling in late. I just caught, you know, the last just few minutes of your conversation. Are you guys discussing, you know, a particular theme?
I brought up the Righteous Army.
You're the caller, so go ahead and make your decision on what you want to talk about. We're all on you.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, I appreciate the invite and the opportunity. Basically, I spent the last 3 years, especially hardcore, all through 2020, 2021, 2022, with thebigvirushoax.com, which absolutely, as Joe indicated, I mean, it has everything. The best of the best, the absolute cream of information regarding viruses, what they are, what they're not, the science behind it, pretty much all the many names that have been coming out of the woodwork over the last few years. There's many doctors that are becoming informed themselves who through their whole lives believed in the virology, you know, narrative and viruses, who now have completely turned because they've looked into it as well. I could talk about that for an hour, but in a nutshell, everything's on the website. I mean, it's very comprehensive. It's a 50-page website, and I always tell everybody that if they were to just review and digest everything that's on the homepage, the viruses page, and the vaccines page, they will be 100% informed and up to date on everything that's going on with the COVID plandemic, scamdemic, global depopulation agenda. And it was about 6-7 months ago, last July, when I was doing the Big Virus Hoax, I was concerned about, you know, where are people like me? Where are the people that are willing to stand for their dignity and their rights? Where are the people that will meet en masse at the grocery store to support each other going in without face diapers and laying their money on the counter? Where are the people that will go to the park when they say it's closed down and go with their families in groups of, you know, 50, 60, 100 and just ignore, you know, police efforts to stop them from going into a public park? You know, where are these people? So I started what I called the Patriot Action Plan and Patriot Action Warriors, which was just trying to get people of like mind to kind of organize around that idea. But that was kind of thing at thebigvirushoax.com, because I was mainly focused again on the viruses, vaccines, what's in vaccines, all the information on every aspect of vaccines. I covered social media censorship and what that's all about, that it's not just about, you know, an outright violation of our freedom of speech, freedom of the press, when they take and shut people's, you know, videos down and websites, but it's literally and you never hear about this, but it's a violation of free and fair trade. They're interfering in commerce, because when people have websites and videos that represent their following and their clientele, you're interfering in commerce, and that's a violation of federal law in itself, among other laws. So, you know, we covered that. We got into, you know, the whole social engineering, what they're doing in China, you know, using technology. You know, the whole New World Order agenda is about a one world order, new world government agenda, where they intend to absolutely control all aspects of people's lives through cryptocurrency, through social engineering. So we really covered it all there. And then it got to the point of, man, you know, what is the answer for getting people to really start organizing? And that's when I created righteousarmy.org, because I was saying, man, we need a righteous army. We need a righteous army to stand up against these evil, corrupt criminals. So I was actually pushing the narrative in conjunction with that, that in fact we the people are the militia. So I was, you know, I had to really make it clear that everything I'm saying is I'm trying to organize like-minded people, people that can relate or associate or feel comfortable with terms like conservative, Christian, patriot, truther, traditional family values, conservative, Republican, you know, people that are center to right need to start organizing. And they need to start doing it in their local townships, in their counties, and throughout their states. And we are the militia. So I said everything we're doing is lawful, it's peaceful, it's open and transparent. And I was making the point that, you know, this whole thing about the militia being a bunch of good old boys in the backwoods is not only – it's a twofold psyop. Number one, it makes people think, oh, yeah, don't worry, man, the militia's going to get it. No, they're not. There is no militia. Oh, yeah, they're in the backwoods. No, that's a misleading concept about what the militia is to begin with. We are the militia. We, the people, are the militia,
right.
Period. So it's about, mm-hmm. You know, creating a new flavor, a new understanding, a new – you know, awareness of what the militia really even is. So it's really just about we the people organizing. And then, of course, in the process of that, I begin to uncover and discover all these, you know, movements with Anna Von Reitz and David Strait and many, many others that are doing the thing about pointing out that, you know, the United States government is actually a corporation by their own admission. It's a corporate entity. And by law, and the best thing we got going for us with this is I just brought it to Joseph's attention a week ago, along with a fellow named Eric Dinges, who's real big on this. But the Clearfield doctrine, Clearfield Trust versus the United States, the Supreme Court has made findings that a corporation cannot treat a man or a woman as a corporation. They have to treat them as a corporation, which is, again, it goes to the whole thing of how they have essentially, through the doctrine of parens patriae, you know, at birth, with the birth certificate and having parents sign as an informant, not as a parent, they are informing the state that they are turning the child over to the state who becomes their father, their parent. I mean, it's communism. It's outright a communist maneuver. So people don't even realize it, that that's what's going on. So, you know, there's a lot that I learned over the last 3 years, but there's a lot for people to learn, and a lot of people are waking up. So, I mean, I literally have all the answers, the solutions, and everything are at thebigvirushoax.com and righteousarmy.org. The problem, too, last point I'll make, is that there's so many people. Here's the big. Here's the ultimate problem. The people that are on the left, the libloons, you know, so to speak, if we put some labels on it, the leftist liberal lunatics, you know, the ones that are all for the, you know, the homosexual, gay marriage, transsexual, transgender, transhumanism, anything goes. There is no man. There is no male. There is no female. There is no black. There is no white. There is no race. You know, everything goes agenda. Those people are the sheeple. They are easily controllable. They're the ones that the George Soros's can pay $25 an hour to go out and burn dumpsters and break people's businesses and burn buildings down. That far left fringe element will do that. Whereas the ones on the right, middle, center to right, they're hardworking. They have their own businesses. They got families. They believe in God. They believe in decency and traditional family values and responsibility and paying your way. So they're going to be decent and good about things, foot in the water, because all of a sudden now they're forced to, as we all have been, they all want to be leaders because by nature they all are. So it's like we have a whole bunch of chiefs, you know, and everybody, you know, that runs a website, me included, right? Everybody that's running a television show or a TV, you know, or what you're doing now, a radio show, you need support. You desire support. You deserve support. So everybody is endeavoring to, in some way, to some small degree, it becomes like a business for them too. It's like, let me sell shirts. Let me get donors. Let me get donations. Let me make money while I'm doing this, and because I'm a leader and I'm going to be the leader and I want to be the leader. And when everybody's doing that, it's hard to organize the people on the right because they're all leaders. So I figured there needs to be one way that we can all unite, and we can all unite under, you know, the banner of we the people, the banner of the militia. But again, people have the wrong idea of the militia. They think, oh, you're talking about, you know, getting guns and storming the White House. No, that's not what it's about at all. So ultimately, it's about people of like mind that are centered to the right starting to organize at the grassroots level in their counties. Having there should theoretically be a militia office in every single county, in every single state, that has three or four or five people running it where they're orchestrating with their governors, their sheriffs, and they're organizing. You know, they're organizing on that level of, hey, we're not taking this shit anymore. We're not going to let this corporation run over us and steal from us and rob from us and poison us and kill us. We're going to start, you know, pulling ourselves together. There needs to be organization. There needs to be organization for organizing all of those people on a grassroots level on up. And that just, you know, is being kind of blocked by everybody just wanting to be a national leader, you know. Even with me, when I said I was a national militia coordinator, I just self-adopted that only because I'm not trying to create a national movement. I'm just putting forth an effort across the nation to get everybody in the nation to start organizing their counties in their states. So I just went with the title of national militia coordinator because I was putting forth a national effort to get people in their states and counties to organize. I wasn't trying to say, I'm the national leader here. No, you know, like a Proud Boys thing, or which are all infiltrated, you know, 3%ers, Proud Boys. That's all controlled opposition. They definitely get their people in there to control it. So that's why it really does need to be a bottom-up movement. Or effort on the part of the people. But it comes down to the people and how few are willing to do that. That was my big disappointment with my efforts, is how few people I discovered there are that are even willing to do that. So you got all the ones that just want to be leaders, and then you got a whole bunch that don't want to do jack shit anyway. So I guess on that, I yield. Thank you for the time.
You're right. He's right. What do you think, guys?
Did we lose connection?
He made my blood pressure go up and my pulse increase. My clenched fist tightened.
Oh, I'm still here. Is V here?
Yeah,
V, we're all here. Somebody's in the background there.
Well, I know I'm here.
Myself. That's my dad, McKinsey.
Well, I don't know if the female voice there. I don't know.
That's
is she
V.
Still here? Yeah. All right, we got her excited. I know she was punching it up on the computer, typing it in, getting ready to sign up. That's what she told me. So.
Yeah, and let me clarify on that too. If I could just clarify on that. There's two approaches I took with regards to, again, the fact that everybody needs support. You do. Everybody here does. We all do. What I did initially, the first 3 months of the big virus hoax, I didn't even have a donate page. It wasn't about money. I was just trying to get the truth out. But after I lost all my gigs and got fired from Uber for not wearing a face diaper and I no longer had any money, the first thing I did was, well, you know, okay, I'll get Cafe Press and sell some T-shirts. And even though I'm only making, you know, whatever I mark the shirts up, which I can't mark them up more than $3, $4, $5, at least I'll make a few dollars. Maybe that'll help me out. So I did some, you know, plus it helps promote the website. So I did that. And then
yeah.
I said, oh, well, heck, I'll throw a donate page on there, you know, and I got a donate page. And because of my efforts, I did get some very significant, you know, donors that were helping me in 2021 into 2022, because they really appreciated the efforts I was doing with that website. And then I realized when I did Righteous Army, I actually said, you know what, we all need money, so let me create a national militia fund. And that we will have a board of directors. We'll have somebody from every state be on the board of directors to decide if we're going to use that money to get people on the border. Are we going to use that money, you know, to provide people with, you know, supplies that they might need, or, you know, to support
yeah.
efforts. So even the National Militia Fund, I said, none of this money is for me. It's not one penny of it. I'm going to put it in an actual trust account, you know, in a corporate bank account, and again, only,
like an escrow,
you know, two people, right, you know, where it's going to be a corporate, you know, fund. But I was thinking big. I was thinking, man, if we get 1 million people to put $100, that's $100 million, and we could do some serious things, you know. And you know, there's always you know, the reality that, okay, well, yeah, the money's not for me, but if I'm having to pay $20 a month, you know, for, you know, constant contact, or I'm having to pay $15 a month for Zoom, I mean, I can certainly let that come out of the funds. It's not for me. It's just to support the website,
yeah,
you know, or the mailing list.
Sure.
But yeah, one person, you know, did a $100 donation one time, and another person, he's still on, he's from Pennsylvania, John, he did $10 a month, you know, so that $10 a month, it partially helps me maintain, you know, the hosting and the domain names for the website.
Yeah. So it costs money to do this stuff. You're absolutely correct. And people need to understand that. The people that are sitting at home doing nothing and collecting a dummy check every month, you know, that just want to go come on there and talk or be a personality. That's fine if you want to be a personality, but you know what? You need to put your little pennies in your quarters, and if you got $8 in your pocket, then you need to send it to Mike, you know, or send it to these podcast shows that got to pay for this stuff, you know?
Yeah, exactly. So I think when we get more people, that are aware of that, you know, there are people that are aware of it. It's, I just, you know, Joey, we've talked about this a lot. It does seem frustratingly so that there's just so few people that want to be involved on a really hardcore, let's think this through, what can we do, what are the answers, what are the solutions, you know, what can I do in my county, what can I do to start organizing that militia headquarters with 4 or 5 people.
But you know how many people haven't heard of you? You know how many people who don't know about you? You know how many people who want to get involved but don't know how? That right there is your 100 million supporters. Because they, you know, and I, like tonight, I had the female on here. She says, well, that sounds good. I'm going to sign up right now, you know. And she never heard of you, you know. I mean, so, you know, and that's how you build it. That's how it goes. And it takes a lot of time and effort, you know.
Yeah. It does. It takes
energy.
Time and effort.
I think you got something good going. I think you got something good with that big virus hoax there and the Righteous Army. Have you ever, real quick, have you ever tried that Reverb Nation for advertising your music?
No, Reverb Nation. I think I have heard of that, but
I got a platform on there that lets me advertise and sell music for royalties on there, and if you have your own music that you own, then you're welcome to put it up there and sell it, honey.
Yeah, I do. It's not high-end quality, you know, studio. I did go into a studio and just throw down like a demo with some of my songs. And I'll send you a link to I created a YouTube channel that has the songs on it. And, you know, and in full disclosure, you know, these are songs I wrote 20 years ago. You know, I was a lifeguard on the beach, and I was a, you know, we all have our vices and our weaknesses in life, and mine was beautiful women, you know, and so I found that every time I found, you know, met a woman that I couldn't have because she was taken or married or just wasn't interested, I would just go home and take it out on my guitar and write a song, you know. So
wow,
like a song
you must have had a lot of guitar playing.
Yeah, I wrote a song called Candela. I wrote a song called Angelina. I wrote a song called Cindy. I wrote a song called.
How about one for Uncle Sam?
Yeah, well, you know, I did write Trump Train, you know, when I was a Trump supporter. Because, again, as you know, I was a Trump supporter his first 3 years. But, you know, I began to realize and learn more and more things that he's, you know, it's my position now that Trump and Biden are just, you know, good cop, bad cop for the New World Order. They're two wings on the same dirty bird. You know, I can give example after example after example that supports that. But, you know, I was his greatest supporter in the early days. Yeah, before he actually officially ran, when he was talking about it, I was trying to encourage people. I said, yeah, man, let's get this guy. I'm tired of these Bushes and Clintons and Obamas. Let's get this guy in there. That'll be great. So I wrote an original song called Trump Train that got like 40,000 views on YouTube before they shut it down. I had people commenting, man, you should be playing this at his rallies, because it was an original.
Really?
It was an original kind of progressive right rock song. I'm surprised I never sent it to you to hear.
Wow,
I guess
I'd like to hear that,
so
man.
Much. Yeah, and it was on, I had it on TuneCore. There's another thing called TuneCore. And, you know, I probably earned $100, $150 over the course of a couple of years just with that one song. In theory, yeah, even Cindy, it was an acoustic song, and I put some really colorful, neat-looking photos to it, and a friend of mine says, man, that's your best song. It's like, I got some good stuff. I'll send you the YouTube channel, and you can listen to the songs at your leisure.
Yeah, man.
If there's anything you think are cool, let me know what you think. You can play them on your show if you want.
Good. Well, anybody got any questions for Mike there about the Righteous Army? I mean, I brought it up, but, you know, I mean, Bianca said there she is. Go ahead.
Hi. This is all a lot of stuff. The whole music thing, too, just kind of took me because I didn't expect it on top of everything. You were a musician. Do you play your own instruments and you sing? Like, what are we talking about here?
Yeah, I mean, I was, I don't know if you've ever heard of Sam Ash. It's a big music store. They started in New York.
Sure.
And there's a few around the country. But, yeah, I was running their music school here in Miami, teaching there for a few years. So I was teaching guitar, piano, bass, drums, ukulele, percussion, vocals. You know, I grew up, my uncle was a professional drummer, my brother was a drummer, had a drum set in the house, so I was able to learn the basics. And then when I started teaching children and beginners, you know, I just kind of progressed myself. Same with piano. But guitar was my main instrument. Rhythm, lead, finger picking, you know, I would do like when I was playing before this, when I was out playing, I was, you know, basically the guy that's playing acoustic guitar and singing. And I would do a mix of stuff. I'd do some country songs, some pop songs, some classic rock, Dust in the Wind, Stairway to Heaven, some Beatles, some Eagles, just kind of mixed it up. But I have written really some awesome original tunes that I've never had the opportunity to get in a studio and put down. And I've got some good stuff I'd love to have down one day. But my life, for some reason, because a lot of times life is about circumstances. You know, in other words, there could be a person who has no money, but they have a bunch of great circumstances that enables them to do things and get things done. There could be another person that they got a lot of money, but they don't have a lot going on for them. They don't know what to do with their money. You know, and then you got other people, you know, that have neither. You know, they don't have any money at all, but they also just don't have a good set of circumstances. And that's kind of been my lot in life. It's kind of strange to me. Even my wife, you know, who's been with me for 15 years, she recognizes it. She says, yeah, it's strange. I just don't understand why that has had to be your reality. I mean, I wrote a children's music book called Grand Staff and His Musical Friends, where I turned all the elements of music into cartoon characters. Over the period of, you know, several years, I got 5 different people, angel investors, that all together invested nearly $500,000 into me producing this, you know, between illustrators and studios and attorney's fees and inventory, you know, and also, you know, and one investor buying out another investor, you know, where maybe $50,000 went to buy off that investor so they could get their percentage. But $500,000 put up, you know, by 5 people. And several hundred thousand, a few hundred thousand dollars that actually went into the production of it. It looks like something Disney produced. It's a hardcover, full bleed, fully illustrated color picture storybook with a musical CD with songs for all the pages. It's got a coloring activities book and stickers. It's a great thing. And, you know, it deserves to... I theoretically should be a multimillionaire over it, because even when I got our first print of books off the press, there were times I'd be at a gas station getting gas and I'd see a car pull up with a guy with a little, you know, 5 or 6 or 7 year old in the back seat. And I'd just walk over to the book and say, hey, how you doing? I saw you have your child there. This is a book I wrote. Wow, that's awesome. Yeah, you know, we're selling them right now for $40 online, but if you like a copy, I'll give it to you for $30. And he'd instantly pull out $30 out of his pocket, give it to me, and take it. I had a salesman once hit the street, and I said, there was 20 books in the box. And I said, if you sell every book in here for $40, that's $800. I'll give you half of it. He went out, and he came back at the end of the day with an empty box and $800, and he gave me the $400. I said he could keep $400. So, I mean, it's something of value, but it never had legs. It never had reach. It never had – it's just the damnedest thing. you know, that here it is, theoretically, you know, something that there's no reason why a measly 1 million parents that have children between the ages
of 3
and 10.
You weren't a part of the Click, Mike. You weren't a part of the New
right.
World Order bloodline. You didn't have
right.
that connection, you know?
That's true. Yeah, that's true. It is. It's about you really can't have success in this world unless you're willing, unless you have the connections, you're part of the clique, or you're willing to sacrifice morals and principles.
Yeah.
You know, and which I'm not. So yeah, that's at least that's been my reality, you know, unfortunately. But
Any,
yeah, at this point, you know,
Go ahead and finish up. At some point here, I'm going to clear the screen, and V and I are just going to do a few more things before the show ends tonight.
Okay, yeah, man.
Yeah, no, that's fine. I've taken enough of your time. I appreciate you giving me the opportunity to speak on your show. What's your name again?
Well, this is the Proof Negative Radio Show.
The Proof Negative Radio Show. Okay, I like that name. The Proof Negative Radio Show. All right.
Well,
you know, just like you've never heard of me, I had never heard of you. And glad to find out about you. You know, I love, I don't know if you know Dave in New York, you know, with his podcast. He's awesome. Joseph's awesome. I love his show. So I always enjoy hearing about other shows.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
But, yeah, thanks for your time. I'll yield, man. Thanks for all the time you gave me. I appreciate it.
All right,
Mike,
back,
take care.
Yeah, I'll have you back whenever. That's fine.
All right, well, thanks so much. God bless y'all.
All right, thank you. Joseph Pianchi, you have anything? I'm going to go to break, and then I'm going to just get
sure,
with
I'm good. I'm good. I'm good. Awesome. Thanks, man. And that was good having Mike on. It's always good to put the information out there, you know. Put information out there and let people do what they will with it and try to convince people to do the right thing. And that's what we're all about, I guess, right?
Right.
Yeah. So I say have a good night, man.
All right. Thank you.
Yeah.
You have anything else, Bianchi, before we go to break?
No, sir. I will take your break. I'm here.
All right. Thank you. All right, everybody.
Okay.
We are going to take a timeout, and then we'll be back in just a few minutes.
Looking for something different? Looking for something fun? Join Dan every Monday on the Freedomizer Network, 9 to 10:30 Pacific, noon to 1:30 Eastern, for Common Sense with the Educated Redneck, Dan Ellison. The show about everything and nothing at all.
Do you want to hear the truth about New York State and beyond? I'm Diana.
And I'm Dean.
Join us Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. until 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, where we'll talk about everything New York State and beyond.
Yeah, nationwide news and local news and the tyranny that's going on here in New York State and what the Democrats are doing across the country, too.
We're going to talk about just about everything. Join us Thursdays, 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, D&D, delivering the truth in New York State and beyond. See you then.
Hello to all you filth bags and something duckers that are looking for employment. We're hiring 87,000 new IRS agents. Are you able to knock on doors and demand to see people's tax returns? We need people who are willing to handle firearms. You need to be the government's new army. Your job will consist of number not grades of people who work as waitresses and did not report all their cash tips. Or maybe they had a yard sale and did not report income. You might need to shoot someone dead who is refusing to cooperate. Or you may have to deal with some childrens. That part is for me. you might need to enforce your will on people by any means necessary to force those 99% dolts and nincompoops to give over all their property to the 1%. If they say they voted for Trump, you kick them in the kumquats. Look, almost 75 million Americans voted for Trump. Another 12 million voted for other candidates. There is another 40 million that voted for Brandon and said something mean about him on Spybook. We need to teach those political enemies that we mean business as we turn America into a third world hellhole for all. If you vote Democrat, we will be coming for you eventually, but for now we are starting our training and first order of work with bringing those right and center wing extremists to those FEMA camps that do not exist. So who wants to work for the IRS? Just go to their website and then we will put you in basic training. Once you prove to us you can handle a firearm and threaten Trump supporters hardcore enough, we will place you on those mean streets and help us confiscate property on all those fuss budgets that did not complete a perfect error-free annual taxation form. Good luck to all you applicants. And good luck all you dolts and something that cares who will let us get away with it.
Have you looked at the price of Bitcoin lately? Cryptocurrencies are the hottest financial investment right now. Well, what if you can get free Bitcoin fractions by having an app on your phone or PC? Introducing Lolly, a website that rewards you with free Bitcoin pieces with your online purchases. You purchase from one of thousands of companies like Chewy, Old Navy, Groupon, and others. You get a percent of your purchase back in Bitcoin. Use my link on freedomizerradio.live or find me on Facebook for your special link to get started. Lolly, earn free Bitcoin while you shop. All right, we're having issues on the switchboard tonight, so I'm not going to play the bumper music and welcoming back. This is Proof. We have V with us on our Thursday here. We have about 40 minutes together. And V, I wanted to go over a few things before we rode off tonight.
Sure thing.
So do you know who Brian Jung is?
It sounds very familiar.
He has over a million followers on YouTube, and he discusses cryptos.
Oh, okay. Yes, I think I actually used to follow him on his, I don't know if it's, what is that, Patreon?
Okay.
I've never used Patreon.
I opened one for Barefoot is Legal, but I haven't used it yet, so I wanted to claim it.
Oh, good. No, that's smart.
Just trying to figure out how to use it.
I remember I didn't really like his crypto advice. He's very knowledgeable, and he's really good when it comes to trading in general. Of course, he's very well-versed on the subject coming from that field, but I didn't find that his advice was very sound, and it was not beneficial to me at all.
Well, I have something here that I was looking at earlier where he was talking about his top five crypto picks for right now, so I was hoping to play that.
All right, let's see.
All right.
So over the past year, we've gone through a very wild ride within the crypto markets. Although the past 1 year hasn't been the best for price gains, if you're following the simple principle of buy low and sell high, this might actually be one of the best times to start building your positions to get in while prices are still heavily discounted. So just to simplify that a bit further, if you had invested $1,000 over the past few months, that amount would be worth over $1,200 or a $200 gain. Not only that, but let's not forget that Bitcoin had hit an all-time high of $67,000 on November 8th of 2021, which means if we ever get back to those same levels again, you would be 3x-ing your investment at the current time of filming this video. So ladies and gents, here are the facts. Fundamentally, nothing with crypto has changed. More partnerships have been made, developments and teams are still building, and most importantly, we're now on a clean slate of sketchy exchanges and projects finally getting wiped out and exposed so we can grow on real, healthy money. Second, on a price action level, Bitcoin is down nearly 70% since the previous all-time high, and during the last crypto winter, Bitcoin had gone down 84% from the top to the bottom before it went parabolic once again. I would also put it in the layman's perspective of if you saw your dream car or dream house for 70% off, would you not buy it? Last but not least, it's safe to say the markets have been rough. We're going through a pretty bad recession right now, but something I've mentioned on this channel from time and time again is to not be a sheep, meaning to have courage when everyone is being fearful and fearful when others are greedy. Now, the crypto fear and greed index is right now showing fear over the last month, and if you had bought, you would be up now. So with all that being said, let's get started with my top 5 cryptos for this year. So the first cryptocurrency on my list is going to be none other than Bitcoin. By now, you should have a good idea of what Bitcoin is and why now more than ever the use case of Bitcoin is so relevant. This is because Bitcoin was initially created to be an electronic peer-to-peer cash system, but it turns out that it also attracted many investors as a store of value currency. In the past 2 to 5 years, we've seen money getting printed by the Fed at an unbelievable amount. Just a few years back, for the year of 2021, it was actually $13 trillion that was printed out of thin air, and in the last 2 years, the U.S. Federal Reserve has now printed 80% of all U.S. dollars in existence. Since then, we've seen the effects of all the debt that is now circulating throughout the country, and it's even resulted in some of the worst inflation that we're still going through now. Guys, even this year, we're going through, which I never would have expected, called the Great Egg Crisis, where even eggs now cost over 60% since last December. So when you start to realize just how rigged the whole system truly is and how flawed central currency is, the importance of decentralized currencies such as Bitcoin starts to make a bit more sense. Now, Bitcoin also has something called the first market mover advantage because it was literally the first cryptocurrency to ever come out. As a result, Bitcoin is able to acquire a strong brand recognition and loyalty from the crypto industry, and it's still the number one crypto by market cap, and that hasn't changed since its release. Bitcoin also technically doesn't have an owner or a governance team, so it will remain as one of the most trusted cryptocurrencies ever to be created because there's no possibility of human error to ruin the project or mess with the network in the future and the code. Not only that, but Bitcoin is still one of the cryptocurrencies that is officially labeled as a commodity by the SEC and CFTC. This distinction is important because the sales of securities are heavily regulated by the US and other national governments, which makes it subject to even more external manipulation. Since Bitcoin, though, is not considered to be a security, it can be freely traded on traditional asset markets as well as the crypto exchanges, and it doesn't run the risk of being attacked by the SEC. This also means that Bitcoin has a possibility of getting more institutional exposure. It is something that we're seeing a lot of old school traditional banks and a lot of those financial institutions coming in and investing some of their exposure to. Don't even forget, like MicroStrategy, Tesla, we had companies that were listed on the public stock exchange that are going ahead and buying millions of dollars worth of Bitcoin. On top of that, there's just an increased demand globally for Bitcoin as more countries and organizations continue to adopt it as their national currency. Even other countries such as El Salvador, as you guys know, have spent a lot of time in order to make Bitcoin their legal tender. As the demand increases over time for Bitcoin, the supply is going to get more and more scarce due to the built-in deflationary strategy, also known as the Bitcoin halving. Halving. Y'all let me know in the comments which one you guys say. I say halving. Anyways, for those who don't know what Bitcoin halving is, these are cycles where every 4 years, the amount of Bitcoin awarded to miners is reduced by half until all 21 million Bitcoins have been virtually mined. It's estimated that the year of 2140 is going to be when Bitcoin will all be mined, but the halving mechanism right now helps to make Bitcoin a scarce, inflation-resistant resource. Now, I'm gonna give you guys a little secret nugget here. Mark this date in your calendar because the next Bitcoin halving is set for March 24th, 2024. And when this happens, it might be too late to buy at the prices that it is currently at now. All in all, if you want to have more exposure within the crypto markets, but you're more conservative, you want to do it in the safest bet possible, I think Bitcoin is truly the best way to go. Like I mentioned at the beginning of this video, with the current percentage change that we've seen from its all-time high of more than 69%, if it went back to that returning number, we would see a 225% upside. Now, the second cryptocurrency on my list for this year is going to be Ethereum. So Ethereum is currently the second largest cryptocurrency in the world by total market cap, only followed after Bitcoin. While Bitcoin may be better known and have a larger market share, many people have argued that Ethereum still takes the prize for popularity and also arguably might even give a much higher return over time. My favorite analogy to all this is that Bitcoin is always going to be like gold. It's going to be a store of value. It's going to be the old school tech, but Ethereum is seen as that new kid on the block where it's almost like silver, where we see it used more commonly in everyday items like kitchen utensils, or even compare Ethereum to be more like electricity where you have use case to it. Since Ethereum is the foundation network for so many crypto projects and for most NFTs as well, some people could justify that Ethereum is much more popular than Bitcoin, especially considering that there were over 338% more Ethereum transactions over Bitcoin for the year of 2022. Now, it was also last year where Ethereum transactions amounted to 408 million, where Bitcoin only reached 93.1 million. The use case and fundamentals of Ethereum have consistently been evolving. For example, Ethereum underwent its long-awaited merge event that transitioned the network from a proof-of-work consensus to the proof-of-stake model. Now, guys, for the sake of this video, I'm not going to explain all the technicalities of that. I've made dedicated videos on Ethereum before. All you need to know, the TDLR, is that Ethereum is on track to diminishing its carbon footprint on the world, making it about 99.9% more energy efficient, which is one of the key arguments that many people have against crypto. On top of that, it's also in the process of lowering the higher gas fee costs. And lastly, it's also working towards becoming quicker and more efficient at processing transactions. With these new upgrades come increased earning potential for Ethereum owners, as a new version promises more passive income under a system that prioritizes stakers over miners. Ethereum also maintains its position as one of the top altcoins due to its unmatched utility of the network. It should also be mentioned that there is a collection of prominent crypto tokens out there that are also categorized as Ethereum killers because they aim to do everything Ethereum does but better. While it's still debatable whether or not some of these projects do even come close to what Ethereum provides, you have to realize that the key word here is aim. These projects are aiming to contend against Ethereum, which automatically puts Ethereum as this high standard top dog contender where other projects are trying to consistently match what they've done. So Ethereum currently sits at the price of around $1,500, and it made an all-time high of around $4,867 before. That means right now you're going to be getting a 67% discount from the previous all-time high, and if it does end up going to those levels, you'd be seeing returns of over 200%. A majority of my holdings are still within Ethereum. I'm still heavily involved within the NFT space. I'm seeing a ton of projects still getting built while things seem rather quiet within the Web3 space, but rest assured, within the next few years, we're going to be seeing even more better developments popping up. And while we're in this really bad bear market and things seem rather quiet, it's times like this where you want to build that courage up and do what others are not doing. Moving on, the third cryptocurrency on my list might be a bit more controversial, but I do need to give my credit over to Ripple's XRP. So XRP is going to be the native cryptocurrency of the Ripple Payment Protocol, which is a real-time gross settlement system, currency exchange, and remittance network. Now, this was first proposed back in 2012 by a company named Ripple Labs, and the token is best known for its ability to facilitate fast and low-cost cross-border transactions. What makes this network so unique is the use cases of the XRP Ledger, which is an open-source, permissionless, and decentralized technology that has a crazy low transaction fee of 0.0002 cents. Per transaction. Combine that with their high speed processing of about 3 to 5 seconds per transaction and its carbon neutral energy efficient scalability measures of about 1500 transactions per second, XRP is still a rather strong contender. This is because apart from the technology, Ripple is also known for having a very strong and passionate community that stands proudly behind the project and team. What's most fascinating about this project is actually the fact that their biggest enemy is not the crypto token holders, it's not the developers, developers or other competing altcoins, it's actually the SEC. If this is the first time you're hearing about Ripple or its battle with the SEC, all you need to know is that the SEC filed a lawsuit against Ripple claiming that they sold unregistered securities. Ripple has denied these allegations, claiming that XRP is a currency, not a security, and this legal battle has been going on since the late 2020s. Although there's still no real consensus on whether XRP is considered a security, there still has been some pretty good news for the XRP community, and that's because there have been some secret documents that would help Ripple win its case. The only issue with all that is the fact that those documents that they need, they have been in the possession of the SEC, and these documents are from a former SEC director of 2018 where he stated and explained why Ethereum is not considered to be a security either. Now, Ripple believes that having access to these documents will help them bring this court case to an end just because of how closely related XRP has been to Ethereum, but the SEC has been doing everything within their power to keep these documents out of court. The SEC even went as far as to filing a motion to seal the documents forever, claiming that they weren't relevant to the court's summary decision. While the documents have been sealed, all hope is not lost, because if they do get released, we could expect to see a possible major win for the Ripple community and a huge setback for Gary Gensler and the SEC. Now, even with the whole FTX debacle, we've been actually seeing how much involvement the SEC has had, and it looks like they aren't this really good, justice-focused government entity. We're now even getting more evidence just how flawed the SEC has been. And I believe if we continue to get more setbacks from reasons that the SEC has acted not in the favor of the people but for themselves, that this could turn out to be in the favor of the crypto project, and then we could possibly see XRP doing much better than before. So right now, XRP is trading at around 39 cents, down about 88% from its previous all-time high of $3.30. If this lawsuit ends in Ripple's favor, I would not be surprised if XRP skyrockets past $1 or more within that first 24 to 48 hours. If you do end up picking up some XRP at the time of filming this video and it does make it back to its previous all-time high, that would be an ROI of around 750%. Keep in mind too that even though XRP is down a good amount, it's still considered a risky investment because of the current lawsuit and because of the nature of it being a cryptocurrency. And, you know, if they do lose a legal battle, we don't know how much lower it could sink. So the whole point I want to make there is to do your own due diligence, make the trades that fit your strategy and financial plan, but here is the info and the current predicament with this project. Now, the fourth cryptocurrency on my list, I had to think long and hard about it, but I made the clear decision to go with Avalanche, also known as AVAX. AVAX is going to be a layer one blockchain that functions as a platform for decentralized applications and custom blockchain networks. It is by far one of the most popular and favorite Ethereum killers, something we talked about earlier in this video, where it's directly competing with several other competitors to try and overtake Ethereum as that number one altcoin. What makes AVAX one of the top crypto projects is that it has a unique solution to what we call the blockchain trilemma. Pretty much the perfect blockchain is going to have three main pillars: security, decentralization, and scalability. Now, the issue within the trilemma is finding a balance between the three. That's because oftentimes a project will be really good at two things. Like if they're good at scalability and decentralization, they're often held back by security. So crypto projects can either choose to focus on two out of the three or find a solution to tackle the entire trilemma together. Now, what makes Avalanche unique is that they went ahead and decided to tackle all three. Their proposed solution to this is to create three different blockchains, which is called X-Chain, C-Chain, and P-Chain. X-Chain, also known as Exchange Chain, is used to send and receive funds on the Avalanche network. We have P-Chain, which is a platform chain, which is used for staking AVAX and facilitating validator activities. Following that, we have C-Chain, also known as Contract Chain, which is used as Avalanche's chain for DeFi apps and smart contracts. Now, they all have their distinct purpose and function, but they pretty much work together by dividing different computing tasks, which results in insanely quick and efficient output as well as low cost for gas fees. This is what allows Avalanche to have one of the highest transaction outputs of around 6,500 transactions per second while not compromising on any of those scalability issues. In comparison, at the time of filming this video, Ethereum can still only process between 15 to 30 transactions per second. And Ethereum still hasn't fully tackled the gas fee situation that is coming on next in their timeline of upgrades. So it's still within this time where other alternatives to Ethereum are going to cost you less money to use. So I think it's safe to say that AVAX has their head on straight. They're trying to take this in the right direction. But one of the reasons why I am more bullish on them is because of their most recent partnerships with Amazon Web Services. Ava Labs, the developer of the Avalanche Network, have partnered with Amazon earlier this month to implement new features that would bring scalable blockchain solutions to enterprises and governments. Pretty much Amazon's going to implement new features that makes it easier for developers to run an Avalanche node through that AWS marketplace. To me, I like to be on the lookout for any partnerships, and whenever I see something like this happening, I always consider it to be good news and the start of something big. At the time of writing this video, the current price of AVAX is at $17.50. It's currently ranked number 17 on market cap for coinmarketcap.com, and considering that the all-time high for AVAX was still at over $150, I think it's safe to say that this crypto is on a massive sale. If you do happen to add some AVAX to your portfolio at around current prices, if it does return back to the all-time high that we've seen before this partnership, you'd be getting an ROI of over 750%. So the fifth and final crypto on my list, ladies and gents, this is going to be, boom, 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 Cosmos, also known as Atom. So Atom is going to be the native utility and governance token of the Cosmos Hub. Now, to give you a little bit of info on this project, Atom has a unique and innovative blockchain that focuses on solving some of the most challenging issues within the crypto industry, such as slow speeds, high costs, scalability setbacks, energy inefficiencies, and even fragmentation. Apart from this, Atom also aims towards making blockchain technology less complex and difficult for decentralized application engineers and developers through something called the Tendermint Engine. Without getting too technical here, the Tendermint Engine is the part of the network that allows developers to build blockchains without having to code them from scratch. Think of having to develop a website all from code that you don't know, or using a company like Squarespace or Shopify where you can drag and drop applications. The software that Atom uses focuses on modularity, and it essentially allows a network to be easily built using chunks of code that already exist. The end goal for the long term is that complex applications will be straightforward to construct because of how the blockchain infrastructure was created. Now, in my opinion, the coolest and most important feature about Atom is going to be the Cosmos Hub, where this hub allows for blockchain networks to communicate with each other, also known as interoperability. While all the things that I mentioned about Atom are great, if you didn't know, one of their most bullish reasons and their little special thing to do is the fact that they're best known for their interoperability solutions in connecting multiple layer one blockchains. Said in the white paper, they quote, Cosmos permits blockchains to run concurrently with one another while retaining interoperability. The Cosmos Hub essentially manages a number of other independent blockchains and acts as the central ledger for the entire system and allows anything that you can think of happening on one blockchain to happen on another one. So with all that said, Atom has the potential to become an important infrastructure layer within the overall crypto industry to help facilitate the exchange of value and information between several different blockchains. Now, the reason why this is on my list is because I believe if not 2 to 3 years from now, it'll definitely happen 7 to 10 years from now, where cryptocurrencies will learn to coexist more naturally, where it won't just be one cryptocurrency to rule it all, but it will be a lot of them, or at least the top 10 or 20 working in congruency or through the idea of interoperability, where they are all linked together, almost like a spider web, and they work in unity. This is exactly what Atom or Cosmos is all about. And if you believe in that future too, which I think is much more probable than just one cryptocurrency ruling it all, then Atom might be a project worth checking out. At the time of filming this video, their current price is at $12.50. It's currently ranked number 20 with a total market cap of $3.5 billion. If you happen to invest in Atom now and it returns to its all-time high of $46.68, you would have an ROI of over 270%. So ladies and gents, this is going to be my list of the top 5 cryptocurrencies to invest and hold for the year of 2023. Now, if you're trying to get started, I know there's a lot of exchanges that have gone under that we thought we could trust. For me, I'm using just a handful of them now. I've reduced them significantly after doing my own due diligence. So right now, I'm using Binance and I'm using Coinbase. If you guys want to pick up some free crypto, I have them linked down below. But before you ever use just a regular exchange, make sure that you take advantage of investing into crypto completely tax-free, and that's by using your Roth IRA or your 401k account, which is something that iTrust Capital allows you to do. This is where you can buy and sell crypto anytime, anywhere, no monthly fees, and by using my link down below, you'll also get $100 for free after funding.
Anyway, V, I wanted to see what you thought. I heard him talk about Cosmos and Avalanche, and when I watched it earlier, I said I have to have that and get your opinion.
That's interesting. I don't have any Cosmos. That is interesting. Mostly the price, it's a little up there for me, and same with Avalanche. Like, I think they all hit a really nice low in June of this year. That's when everything really took a nice little tumble. Last year, excuse me.
My third biggest hold, actually.
Oh, interesting.
Because you get 5% interest on that.
Oh, you do.
Yeah, I know you're from New York, so.
Well, I don't.
Yeah, right now it's $12.17 a share.
That's right. And do you see how it was in the summer? Most likely it was down around
$5. Still, was it $35, $38, something like that?
It was $5 in the summer. But last year, what was that? February, January, it was like $41.
Right.
That's insane. That's an incredible plummet. But buying it at five was a great sweet spot. Even now, I'd still get it at 12 and hold it and see if we can get back. Hold until it gets that all-time high.
70% in the last year.
Yeah, that's wild. Still higher than the American dollar, though.
But Coinbase says that they have a 95% buy on it.
Oh, that's right. And it's number 17. If something tells me that everything's going to tumble again, I don't think we're going to see the lows that we saw this past summer, but we're definitely going to get close to it just before everything kind of catapults back up. It never fails to happen.
Mm-hmm.
You think, oh, let me get it now because it's on the way up, and then it goes drops, maybe 20%, and you're like, damn it. I should have waited. Well, dollar cost averaging says buy low while you bought in high. You can average out what it is that you spent. That's what I do. I try not to cry about it, but I've been buying Bitcoin at every level it hit, you know?
Well, I liked Algorand for a while, and they have 5.75 annual percentage rate. But I remember when it was about $1.40 a share, and now it's at 22 cents.
Yeah, that's crazy. I don't remember it was that high. I remember being $1. And I think it dipped down to like 16 cents. But I have some Algorand. I think I bought it first in 2022, and I got it at 33 cents a coin, so look at that. Definitely down. But I did get a small reward. I got 7 cents. So I do get, I do qualify for the 5%. Not bad. More than the bank. I don't trust the bank anyway.
Yeah, so far in just over a year, I've earned $1.11 interest on Algorand.
I guess you really gotta have a good chunk of money in there to see that return be worth anything, you know, in the thousands, of course.
I've earned almost $10 on Atom, though.
I wish I could earn on Atom. That doesn't seem to be fair that I can earn on Algorand but not Atom. Not fair at all. So Bitcoin, Ethereum.
After I get off the air, I'm going to learn about Kava, and I'm going to earn $3 in Kava.
Oh, I see. They're offering. Yeah, for me, it's not. It's not supported by Coinbase. I have to use a swap.
For Kava?
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
So I'm not able to watch a video and earn. Isn't that horrible? Your
well,
zip code is everything.
Yeah.
New York zip code is worth crap.
All right. Well,
I'm
going to be doing at least.
Yeah. I'm holding have no choice, really. I'm down in almost everything. But I've had my good years, and I've had my bad, good months and bad ones. My son is still trading NFTs. He's still trying to get them free or as cheap as possible, and he's flipping them for one or two Ethereum.
So I don't know if you heard about this story, but Meta was told to give up their ban on female breasts. So if you're a female, you could show your breasts, but only if you're either a trans or you put on your profile that you're non-binary. I knew this was coming.
Oh, interesting.
I've talked about this for a long time.
Yeah.
So
I didn't think they needed to declare it, because I'd already seen trans women topless, and I was wondering, do those count as breasts even though they don't have implants, and their hormones haven't produced enough to consider it a real breast?
Well, and if you're a man and now you go, you're a trans, so if you are a man that dresses as a female, so you could show your stuff anyway, I guess. I don't understand. So,
right.
But then if you say you're non-binary, like Miley Cyrus says she's non-binary. This is going to get really confusing, because how do you determine if somebody is non-binary or not? And how would you, as a police officer, how would you go up to somebody and ask them if they're non-binary? And if not, then you get to give them a ticket. And I know New York State is different on that. I'm talking about for the rest of the country.
Right. Yeah, New York State allows for people to be topless. And these feminists fought particularly hard for it to be on public transportation. You don't see
right.
it, but they wanted the right to have it. Just in case.
Yeah. So my issue is how are you going to police that? And ask, would you have to go up to somebody and ask them if they're non-binary and then go from there? Because you can't really, if they say yes, you can't say prove it.
That's true. There's no way to prove it. Just like there's no way for a man to prove if he's walking around a woman's locker room at the YMCA that he didn't decide to do this just so he could be an exhibitionist in women's locker rooms. No. Wait,
actually, that lady, Lindsey Graham, she's been on my show a couple times. She kind of went viral for that. I was going to get a hold of her over the weekend and see if she wanted to come on and discuss that.
Has she been on when we were on together?
I don't remember if it was you or someone else.
Oh, it sounds familiar. I'm sure you saw that 17-year-old girl who was complaining to the YMCA about seeing a naked man walk around while she was in the shower.
Yeah, and the YMCA is like, why are you bothering us? That's normal.
Bother the lawmakers, right. But I think recently, what I thought you were going to bring up about Facebook, which this doesn't surprise me at all anyway, what you brought up, but I thought you were going to bring up that they will no longer consider anything from Ukraine or related to the Azov Battalion to be Nazi. So now you can mention it and write stories about the Azov Battalion because they once were Nazi, doesn't mean that they currently are Nazi, and the two should not be conflated, and they should be able to walk away from their dark history. God forbid anybody else get the same privilege, but...
So you have Nazi symbols tattooed on your person, and that means that... So now that doesn't qualify you as being a Nazi? You are just a fan of it? Just like when Nancy Pelosi said, just because the MS-13 have MS-13 tattoos doesn't mean that they are a gang member. Maybe they just support and like the MS-13 gang.
Right. And now they can write, you know, articles on Substack and post them on Facebook and Instagram and share stories on WhatsApp. That's right. That's exactly what.
Do people actually use WhatsApp?
People do, especially international texters. You know, it's free. You don't have to be on social media in some little chat room to do it. You can send longer videos, too.
Yeah, I just look at WhatsApp like it's just one of those that just didn't quite make it.
Yeah, I know some people who prefer it because they can always log into it from a laptop and continue their conversation from their phone to the desk.
Okay.
Like that. I personally don't use it very much, if at all.
Well, you could probably tell I've never logged into it before.
Well, I'm not a big fan of Meta. I mean, there's so many reasons to leave Facebook.
No, I really don't like Meta, but it's the biggest what's out there, so I don't want to. You run a business, you run a nonprofit, you have 5,000 friends, and you're too big to fail.
Right. No, I get it. It's hard to get away from when you have your family, your friends, or your business on there, and there's no other platform that compares to the volume of revenue that you can acquire and accumulate.
Right, and especially now that I'm starting to make some money on SpyBook. If I go to MeWe, I'm going to have 1/100th of the audience, and there's no chance of making money.
Right. Same with Truth Social. You'd have to work hard to build that following. Because I hear people with
Android. I have a Gab, but it's very hard when you have everybody that's like-minded. There's no reaching out and educating people.
That's true. Nobody's arguing with you about anything.
No. Yeah, you tend to get people that might click a like on your post and they'll never read it because they already read it on 32 other friends.
That's true.
I don't hate Gab. Mm-hmm. I just wish it was more useful.
Yeah, it is nice. It is refreshing. There's something about the atmosphere. It's very much less negative and antagonistic. That's a refreshing place to be on social media.
Oh, I get it. I post articles on mine sometimes.
I don't like the whole topless thing on Facebook because people, in order to sign up for an account, you have to be 12 years old. And I wouldn't even dream of letting my youngest get on there, but the amount of stuff I've heard, I mean, I understand that there's trafficking going on, that there's child pornography on there. I don't even know how people hide that, but they're predators all over.
Well, I've had Lena Esko, who started the Free the Nipple movement. She's an actress, and she's been on the show. I understand. I'm not hating because I run Barefoot is Legal, so I understand that it's a part of the body that some people just don't want to wear something over. And as if it's not sexual, I get it. But I have an issue where you either allow it or you don't. And it's just crazy that if your sister said that she's non-binary, she could show her stuff, but you can't because you did not claim non-binary status.
Right.
That's the issue I have.
Major issue.
It's like, if you want to decriminalize it, then decriminalize it. But because I understand that not everything is always about sex. So, for example, I like red hair, so that doesn't mean that everybody should wear a shower cap because I happen to like a nice redhead.
Right. Right,
so,
but there's something a little bit, there's like, it's either nurturing or sexual when it comes to a breast. And I guess we have that taboo for a reason. My goodness, there was a time when women couldn't even show their ankles. And a bathing suit was like a full pantsuit.
Hey, men up until, what, 1920 or so, men had to wear a shirt at the beach?
That's right. Strange.
So, I you've probably heard me talk about that stuff before. So, the thing is that if we allowed it, in my opinion, if you decriminalize it, it might be less sexualized because if people see it all the time, like no one gets aroused at somebody's ankle for the most part anymore. No one's going to have to hide their stuff because they saw somebody's elbow or knee.
That's very true. Yeah, you don't see people going crazy for that anymore.
No.
Breaking into a sweat, whipping out their handkerchief from their pocket. Ma'am, I do declare I see your ankle.
Man, that's a sexy elbow. Yeah, you don't hear that.
Are you flirting with me?
But I don't know how... Yeah, I don't know how that new ruling is going to work.
No, same.
Because you have the groomers, but then you have the people that want their freedom at the same time. And like I said, if you just decriminalize everything, let people do what they're going to do, and take the sexualization out of it, then it'll work itself out, maybe not in the next 2 or 3 years, but it will eventually work itself out.
It's a slippery slope with the nipple thing, just like with the trans people. You know, it started out with, I just want the freedom to express myself, to now I want the freedom to read to your kids in schools and libraries, and I want to teach them that they could be trans because they are confused about their...
See, the way it's worded, it is a slippery slope because it gives the trans people more rights than a non-trans.
Right. But encouraging people who identify as women to be topless is now normalizing what... a breast or chest or private area is supposed to be, and normalizing it to be something that it isn't. You know, it's not where babies are nursed, and it's not where people find, you know, to be an intimate private part. And now it's neutralized. Now it belongs to someone who's gender fluid or non-binary, or someone who doesn't see themselves as a male, you know, if they were born assigned male at birth.
Yeah, well, we'll have to look at this at another day here because we're running out of time. Thank you so much for being here, V. I appreciate you being here every week. I'm just happy. I know I can count on you for great conversations for 3 hours a week.
Thank you for thanking me.
All right. So, everyone else, I'll be back on Monday. Please support the other shows on the network. It's not just the Freedomizer show, but so Monday, hold on to the handrail. We hold the line for the whole week. We're suppliers. It's negative IQ.